Blog Talk Radio.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
Coming to you from the black street. They got it going on. WTED with the black funk. That's Black Street out here. Yeah. Like I said, your chance is take it to the bridge.
Sometimes I get the feeling.
Going on, going on. up with Black Street. We had it going on. To all the Funkazoids out there, keep that funk going. May the dog be with me.
Let me make you scream and shout.
Yeah.
Got to
run away. It's on for about 2 years ago now. Big tune.
Oh, have a story we want you to wear. So everybody open your ear. We sing because we care. It's a real life drama.
DJ Spider.
Big
respect, man.
Nothing's like one out there. Oh, oh, yeah. This is how the story starts. She was with one man and he gave his heart.
She'd pretend to play the part of a faithful wife till death do part.
Left around with many men,
unprotected now and then.
She did not intend
for this to be the end.
Now she's dying for a cure. She just can't take it, crying from the core. And nothing can change it, dying for a cure.
Nothing's on the shelf
that ever seems to help. Now he's dying for a cure. He just can't take it, crying from the core. And nothing can change it.
Time. fierce fighter. Big respect, man. Anna. Oh.
The vibes principle. I see them moving whimsical. Poor people.
Let me tell you this. Society no have no heart. All them attack, them still not do nothing for you. Society no have no heart. This one back a promise, no action, what's the youth? Society no have no heart. All them attack, them still not do nothing for you. Society no have no heart. But we did know that from start. Them facts are ship sinking. Them and them dirty devil soup, where them the whiskey be drinking. Could a kingfish or kingpin. Them remind me of the Ku Klux Klan. Back in the day, when black man a get lynching. The commonwealth give the wealth to matter than a mischin. You suffer if you have thick skin. Them divide with the rule. That's why the death of our politics brings hell of this. Society no have no heart. All them attack, them still not do nothing for you. Society no have no heart. This one bag of blamies no have.
Feeling, leaving, and the reason is clear. Because I am a gangster and she's living in fear.
She say that she's leaving. She's leaving because I'm acting deceiving. I don't know why she's leaving. She's hurting. But what a bond to break. What a bond. People try to instigate. But it's never right to make decisions. Never. Think, concentrate. Better try to relate. Straight. Straight.
Leaving and the reason is clear. Because I am a gangster and she's living in fear. In case that I don't make it, is the news you will hear. I got something to tell you, baby, are you prepared?
No thoughts of me grieving, mistakes out of me. Make me look deceiving. If I ever this morning into wonderful deceiving. Break up to make up, love is the reason. Say that you are leaving and the thoughts of me grieving, mistakes out of me. Make me look deceiving. If I ever this morning into wonderful deceiving. Break up to make up, love is the reason.
Well, you me know no spouse. You want me to be fine like a milky coast. I tell me look, I work at a security post. Give me the pass, give me the minimum and take. Well, I'm a youngster, that's first and foremost. Man, I won't be politician when me head like a dose. Oh man, you bring me kids, you have me land and me house. So let's take a trip and go on the North Coast. That way you are close, close, cross.
Hey, da-da-da-da-da, Kambu-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na
Holy shit. Oh man, this one's just I don't know where to go with this, man. I'm just freaking lost. At a loss for words. And what is wrong with black folks, man? What the fuck did happen? Woo! Just what in the hell has happened to Negroes? I should have got me some liquor. Get liquored up, self-medicated. Yeah. Hey, sister.
Hey. Hey, everybody listening. Did you watch the video?
Not the whole thing. You know, I can't do the whole thing.
I know.
Can't do the whole goddamn thing.
I sent him a video.
Let's just, before we talk about that video, explain to me real briefly before we get into this. I played football for a long time. I mean, I've even went to tryouts at one time, you know, and for a couple of West Coast teams, you know, and messed around on the practice squad for a little bit. I can't look at basketball. I love that. You know, I was playing that shit. You'll go to gym every now and then, but I told you I'm gonna need. Like I said a little few minutes ago, I'm gonna need some freaking therapy.
Yeah,
this is a lot worse than what it.
Yeah,
a lot worse than what I thought it was. I mean,
I told you.
I'm gonna call a liquor store and see if they don't deliver, cause I'm out of it. I usually drink. Okay. I'm out of that, cause I meant to go ahead and pick up a few bottles and maybe something. But
a few bottles.
Hell yeah, man. Shit. Cause I got something here. I don't want to mess with what I got. I got a little bar, but what I really like to drink, it ain't here, and I need it right now. So help me here. What has happened to black folks, in your opinion, especially black males? Please help me.
The video, what he's talking about, what Rob is talking about, I sent a video, or posted a video, rather, of Michael Sam, who's the football player who was drafted, gay football player, black guy, and the video was him kissing, once he got drafted to the Rams, he was kissing his boyfriend. And he said, well, there's two different videos. One video is him just kissing him. And the video that I posted, though, is of him taking a cupcake, smashing it in his boyfriend's face, and then kissing him. Basically, like you would see a man and woman do.
A man and woman. I've been in that situation.
Like, yeah, at a wedding or even just to celebrate.
Just to celebrate.
Right.
Oh,
right.
I think, yeah.
I might start
doing heroin in the morning.
Oh, don't say that. What is that going to solve? That's going to give you more
problems. Self-medication. I just go ahead and just take me off to another world so I don't go ahead and see what's happening out here no more.
Yeah, it's rough.
Rough?
It's rough. It's rough. But
it's so nasty.
It is, but you know what? I am, like, I'm not surprised, but I'm just kind of like, really? At ESPN, but ESPN purposefully put that video up. They shot the video of him, you know, smashing the cupcake. They put that up purposely. They did that purposely because, again, it's with the whole gang agenda type thing. People who do not believe that, what will it take for black people especially to actually believe there's a gay agenda? What more, like what, what will it actually take? What more do you need to see? Because you see something like ESPN, which is a sports network, okay, that many black men watch.
You know, hold on. You know what, mm-hmm. Now that I think about it, I don't remember, a lot of times draft day, you see them kissing their girlfriends. You may see a few kissing their moms. But I never seen them go ahead and push this thing like they're pushing this.
Exactly. And that's my whole point, you know, is for these people who are saying there's nothing going on, you know, how could you possibly even feel that way when something like this is broadcast nationally on a top station, and this is about football? Why are they making this about this man being gay? And, you know, if there's not something behind this, you didn't see, think about it, people out there, whoever's listening, people who don't think there's a gay agenda. What, do you think they would have done that had he been a white football player who was gay?
Mm-hmm. You know what? And that's something else. Why aren't they going ahead pushing the whites that are gay?
Because, I'm going to tell you why. They are trying to make homosexuality synonymous with being black. It serves many purposes, but one of the purposes, and Tyreek, I don't know if anybody knows about him, but I've been following him for years. But he was speaking on this, and he was saying this purpose, but I think it's more than one purpose. Huh?
You mean Tariq Nasheed?
Tariq Nasheed, yeah. And he was saying that they want to make homosexuality linked with being black. And the reason they do that is because nobody, well, for one, it's the whole civil rights thing, but most white people, okay, most of the dominant society in this country do not want to be known publicly now as a racist, okay? Everybody tries to pretend they're not racist. So if you can link homosexuality with being black, and you can make them like they're attached to each other, then the gay community benefits, because then people automatically know they have to be tolerant of it, just like they're tolerant of black people.
You know, so what? Let me. What you said is accurate about going ahead and making it, you know, being gay, being black. There's a sister that comes out of Kenya every now and then, we talk, and that's one of the things she told me was, you know, she was asking me that, you know, because you guys like that kind of thing. Not just go ahead and ask me, but told me that's what I'm like. I mean, we used to go ahead and send messages and stuff, and we talk about, like, the news and stuff. She was cool, and I'm like, hold on. And I got a phone number, and I called. I said, how in the hell could you go ahead and equate that with me?
Oh,
I didn't understand,
like,
that
black
at all. It pissed me off, and I ain't talked to her since.
She was
like, don't go ahead and try to make it seem like that's all the black men over here. That's what we about. Get the fuck out of here.
Okay. But this is an image, though, Chef. That's the thing, though. Black men over in America who are not paying attention to this, guys like you, many other black men, are not. A lot of black men have issues with paying attention to the whole gay situation with other black men. But what y'all don't realize is this is expanding beyond America. So it's people now in America whose opinions and views of black men are being shaped by this and beginning to change. And it's not in a positive way. They're beginning to see black men being emasculated, black men being less intimidating and threatening. And people in other countries, they also see this too. They're seeing the images of black men. And the images they get to see in other countries of things going on here are typically going to be black men who are emasculated already. They're not going to see many strong images in the media or entertainment field of, you know, strong black men. So, you know, that's other people. Are yeah. Other people are
seeing. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And,
go on, sister. give yourself a few minutes. Go ahead and get some more into it.
Okay.
I'm having some issues over here.
I hear you going through some things, but, well, with the things that Tariq talked about,
you couldn't imagine.
I hear you.
Well, I ain't no little worm type guy. I'm fairly thick, but I just don't understand how this big old burly ass motherfucker can go here and got this little bitty ass white boy and he's sucking on him. I don't get it. I mean, even if you see the picture I posted for, you know, advertising showing about this show,
I gotta see it.
Yeah, I like what I saw there. I'd have walked into walls looking at behind that there, boy. Ooh.
Oh, I seen with the dress on.
Oh yeah.
Okay, yeah. Oh, Lord.
Hey.
You know you done already pulled somebody's weave out, so.
Oh, man. Go ahead, sister.
But, you know, just to kind of go off what I was telling you about what Tariqa said, you know, them trying to link the two things together, it's working. I mean, it's working. It's working very well. You know, people are now, you know, letting their guard down a whole hell of a lot with the homosexual type of influence. People are now, even when they're disgusted, like, If you look at the sports caster's face briefly on that video at the end, it's like they were so very uncomfortable. But people now, like, you cannot say anything, though. And, well, you can, but you have to be willing to get that feedback from that. And one, was his name? I think his name is Don Jones. I think he plays for the Dolphins. And he said, horrible. He texted horrible, tweeted horrible. And later on, they said he took it down, so he probably was told to take it down. But he's a black guy, and he was just like, I guess he was just like, hell no, this is awful, you know? And I feel him 100%. It is horrible. I mean, I don't know what to say about it, but they've managed to do this using people like Michael Sam, using people like Jason Collins, these other gay rap dudes that's going on now, or bisexual, whatever they call themselves. They're doing it with these guys, and they are happily going along with it because these gay black people now, they think they're protected. They think they are protected and that they are wanted and that they are going to be receiving some special honor from white folk that they're A-okay. But they don't realize this is all a temporary thing. This is temporary. They're using black people to build up that ladder of control. Once they get up the ladder of control, black folk, gay black folk, you to the side again. You mean nothing. And, you know, I don't know why people don't get that, but it's working well. And my thing about it is with this the gay athletes, and some people have disagree with me on this, but if you come out and you say, I am gay, I'm homosexual, now you make this an issue for you playing sports, okay? It has nothing to do with that. But you come out and you want to publicly say, I'm gay to the world. Well, being gay means what? You're attracted to men sexually. This is who you look at romantically and intimately, is another man. So if that is what you choose to do, is come out and let it be known, in my opinion, you need to have a separate dressing room, a separate locker room, bathroom, whatever. You need to do that. And I was saying this remark before, and, you know, people did not like it or agree with it. And they were like, well, no, that doesn't mean that they're going to like every man they see. Hey, you can take it how you want to. It doesn't matter if they're going to like every man they see. First of all, most of those guys are going to be in shape and buff anyway. And that's what a lot of gay men like. So, I mean, let's keep it real. But, you know, the fact is, even if he does not like or not attracted to whoever, you are putting other men in a compromising situation. And not everybody is comfortable with homosexuality. I know that I'm not. And they maybe don't want that presence of feeling like I'm in the locker room, but this nigga over here might be checking me out. You know? It's not fair. You know, I mean, you coming out the shower, you changing out of whatever, doing whatever, and you pass by him, you know, a lot of guys are going to have a mindset of, and someone was saying, well, he's going to be very cautious about that. He's obviously going to know that people are kind of looking and making sure he's not looking or whatever. He's going to be conscious of it. But that's the whole thing. If you got to do that, have your own locker room. Gay people, if you want to come out, you want to tell people that you're gay, you want to go against the grain, you want to do whatever it is you want to do, then you need to be willing to deal with the consequences from it. You need to be willing to deal with whatever is thrown at you for choosing to come out as gay. And part of that in sports means you should have your own damn locker room.
Do you really think that's going to be it? I mean, and also I want you to go ahead and tell me why you're uncomfortable with it.
I'm uncomfortable with it. Say if there was a girl, actually this happened in school. There was a girl who was a known lesbian and in high school, and, you know, you had to change out your clothes. And for gym, I was in a class called Fitness Plus or something class I was in, and we did, like, aerobics and walked, you know, all around the town that I lived in, the school where my school was at. And, you know, the girl was a lesbian, and she would be right in the locker room. She was very loud, and everyone knew what was up. But everyone was also very uncomfortable around her because everybody was like, she ain't going to be able to look at my stuff. She ain't going to try to look at me, you know. Oh, no, you know. Girls were very conscious of it, and there was a loss of freedom. See, that's the thing people don't understand, you know, and maybe they do, but they're not looking at it this way. Those men, I'm sure those men in that locker room, they have a sense of freedom because they could just kind of do what they're doing, hang out, talk to the players. They ain't got to be worried about looking over their shoulder that this dude checking me out, he's trying to get with me, he's fantasizing about me, or he, you know, whatever. And that was the thing, like, with me, you know, even in high school, that sense of freedom was lost because now you feel uncomfortable, like, is this girl looking at me like that? You know what I'm saying? You don't want to be just out there, and not with anything on, but just even in a sports bra or shorts or whatever. It's like you feel more uncomfortable. And, you know, people can say that's wrong or right for me to feel that way, but it's my right to feel uncomfortable. And I think people should be accommodated for them, for their comfort. And so the person who is the one who's different, I'm sorry, but the one who's different, that wants everybody to know they're different, he need to have his own locker room. You know, things do change when you tell people you're gay. That's the reality of it. It's not normal, and we need not treat it like it's normal. So
let's
be ready.
Let's back
yeah.
up again. About this Tariq Aziz thing here. Explain that a little bit more.
Oh, okay. What he was saying about linking it to black people.
Right.
Okay. Now, I think it's multiple reasons, but his reasoning was linking it with being black, linking homosexuality with being black, that it will automatically lend, you know, credibility to homosexuality. And it would put it on the level of being seen as a civil right. It would be on a level basically saying you cannot discriminate against gay people. And if you so much as think you will get all kinds of flack for it. You will be called out. You will be fined, whatever it is, the situation. And I totally go along with that. But the other reason I feel like it's being linked with black people is still in that whole gay agenda, because we are the people who are experimented on, always the ones who are experimented on, because our lives cost less than the dominant society, one of their lives. Our lives are worth less than theirs. So, you know, they've done experiments on us, you know, scientifically and things for a long time. But in this case, the experimentation is to put someone who's black in a field where it's very masculine dominated, a field that is very publicly known, and then to basically watch what happens. That's what they did. So they're taking this black man, they're making him come out, because this was prompted, let's be clear, this was prompted by his agent, LGBT organization, and people around him. Okay, this was prompted by them. And actually, he did an interview, and I don't want to cite it wrongly, but he was saying something to that effect. Okay, so these people encouraged him to come out. They supported him in coming out. They made a way for him to come out because they wanted him to come out as being an experiment. So now he's the experiment. Here's this black dude. He's masculine. He's manly or whatever it's supposed to be. He's big, basically. He's in a field that's male-dominated completely, that's very, you know, masculine. It's a boys' club completely. Men across the country, men around the globe love football, okay? That's the real American sport, not baseball, but football. People are crazy about football. So now they throw him out there. Boom. He's out there. He got drafted now, so he's going to play. And so they're going to be watching closely for how the season goes, the reactions he gets from fans, the reactions he gets from the other players around him, the reactions he gets when he's when they're away on games away from St. Louis. So all of this is going to be a test. He's being experimented on. So that way he gets all the kinks out the system, right? So then anything happens with them, they can report it. They can then, you know, do whatever they need to do to get it fixed or make it better for the next gay person. And all of that leeway, see, they do it with everything. All of that leeway that gets open by him being the first out there, they will then benefit, they meaning these gay organizations and ultimately the white gays.
But what do you say to, because I see a question here in the chat room, and what do you say about the idea that there's already been gay pro players? I mean, you know, a lot of the tennis players, females, they were gay, and then the female golfers, a lot of them were gay.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's the thing. That just shows you how big of a con and a fraud this whole situation is. Because there have been, exactly, there have been gay players. They knew were gay in other fields, but they weren't the right color. That's the whole thing. They weren't the right color and weren't the right sport. for them to really make it into what these gay organizations wanted to make it into. There's another guy, I think his name is Wade Robinson, or Wade something or other, and he's a black guy. He, I believe, was on the Titans, I want to say, but he's gay, very gay, and he now works for some organization. He no longer plays football, but I think he's in his 30s or whatever, and he, you know, he came out afterward. That guy who was the 49ers player who beat up his boyfriend really bad, his boyfriend was also a white man. He beat him up bad, and he was gay. But I think he didn't really, all of that didn't really come out till later, but the setup has to be right. Otherwise, they just kind of let it go on with people being gay. The time was right for this situation. They found a guy who was then coming into the draft. So he wasn't already in the NFL yet, okay? He's coming into the draft. He is willing to be a puppet. He's willing to say to everybody, okay, yes, I'm gay. You know, he's willing to take whatever endorsements and money under the table or whatever, and the quote-unquote safety these people are providing him. So that was okay for him. But see, he's in the right scenario right now. So all the other gay players that have existed over the years, you know, it was known inside the industry, the sports industry, that these people were gay. But it's just that the timing is right now. The timing is right for the gay organizations, the gay movement, the gay agenda. It's just all in place. Everything is in place.
Wow. I got a caller. AC, you there? I think he hung up. Yeah, because the guy, there was a lot of controversy about this one player. I think last year, plays for San Diego, the Samoan dude. Now, one thing, I think it's the Samoans that do it. I think it's the Samoans that do it. That if they don't have any female children, that they go ahead and raise one of their boys as a girl.
Really?
I think it's the Samoans that do that, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but you can raise them as a girl, but she still can't have babies or anything. I mean, you can raise them as a girl all you want. It's still not a girl. It ain't,
yeah.
She can't give you grandkids or whatever the case is. So, I mean.
Yeah, okay. AC, how you doing, man?
Hanging, man. Hanging, been listening to the sister. I didn't catch her name.
Renee?
Mm-hmm. Hey, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. First starting with would you prefer that gays or however they label themselves are out in the open about it or on the down low, as they say?
If you want to put – that's not really too good category to call it. But if you want to call it that, I will say on the down low. And I
really?
Say that – yes, I say that. But this is the thing, though. But when you say the down, that's what I mean, those two categories, you can say people who are out with it or people who choose to be discreet. That's a better idea about
okay.
it to me.
Discreet.
Because
okay.
discreet, yeah. You, which means that people probably know that you're gay. But in other words, you are not taking this and making people have to accept you, or you're putting it in people's face. And so, to me, I would rather people be discreet about it.
Okay. And your concern is that they're piggybacking, like so many other groups have, they're piggybacking the civil rights movement?
Absolutely. Absolutely they are. They're piggybacking everything that black people have had to go through, from being lynched to, you know, all the way back, of course, to our ancestors being enslaved, but to being lynched, to being told colors only, whites only, crosses burned, you know, beaten, raped, they would cut the black men's genitals off. I mean, all kinds of things that, you know, we went through and still, and that's the thing, we still go through today. You know, it's just in different ways, but it's the same thing. So as gays, I don't understand why that should be okay with people.
What should be okay with people? Excuse me.
That they are using, they're piggybacking off of the black civil rights movement.
Well, I mean, you know, okay. On that note, Kenny, well, it seems to me, and I've been around here for a minute, that all of the groups that have piggybacked off the civil rights movement that was basically designed originated with the idea of keeping black men from being lynched and castrated and all kinds of other atrocities, not to suggest that black women weren't suffering from the same atrocities, just not to the same degree. I mean, I would suggest that if a black woman went through something like that, it was because she was vocal or even an activist about what was occurring to black people at that time, and she met with a similar fate as numerous black men who, you know, basically did nothing more than try to protect themselves and their family from the situation. And it seems to me that, like I said, these groups that have piggybacked off of the civil rights movement for the sake of their own agendas have benefited to a greater degree than the people for whom the movement was started.
Yeah.
Secondly, if this wasn't, call me a cynic, I'll accept that, but it seems to me that if you are a professional athlete and you want to be accepted for a professional athlete, the time to come out with your, I mean, this is just me talking and this is just my opinion. I mean, you know, this isn't a written rule. But if you are an athlete and you want to be considered for entrance in one of the most exclusive clubs in athletics, the National Football League, that, you know, you would want to do so on the merits of your ability as opposed to your affiliation with a certain group. And so, therefore, as far as I'm concerned, the time for you to come out with the fact that you are gay is after you were drafted, not before. But obviously, that wasn't my decision. And so, therefore, I would be willing to suggest. Now, I heard you say that, you know, he has been given the impetus to come out by LBGT groups and his family, of course, his lover, and people around him, but I would suggest that it can't be honestly known whether he's being accepted because of his abilities as a football player or because of the fact that he's gay, and anybody with a marketing scheme would not want to upset potential buyers, potential clients, potential customers. So, you know, the acceptance of an LBGT member to a football fraternity or whatever type of athletic fraternity you want to put into play. For instance, Jason Collins, you know, he came out and, you know, announced that he was gay. From a football perspective, Jason Collins and his brother were two of the worst basketball players, you know, from a basketball perspective. And I love basketball. I know a great deal about it. Jason Collins and his twin brother were two of the worst basketball players that ever graced an NBA court. I think the idea that they were twins was the drawing fact there. The NBA likes the idea, you know, of having two brothers playing on the same team. It's a marketing tool. It's a marketing strategy. But neither one of those players were what I would consider good ball players. And it seems to me also that Jason Collins' career was extended by the fact that he came out as homosexual. And I would also suggest that Michael Sam's, the genesis of Michael Sam's career was heightened by the fact that he came out and announced that he was homosexual. So from that perspective, I mean, I think it was I don't see the social benefit. I do see a financial benefit, especially for the people involved. I mean, you know, the publicity in and of itself has made him, obviously made him a hero with the LGBT community. And I would suggest that there will be, if he does become a member of the NFL, there will be more LGBT people watching football than there would be normally.
Mm-hmm.
For the social perspective. I'm sure that there are a lot of gay men, women, what have you, that like football. It's a good game. But I guarantee you the number of people that watch it will increase because of this situation.
Absolutely.
And so therefore, I mean, but then again, in the immortal words of Grandmaster Flash, it's all about money and a damn thing funny. You've got to have a con in the land of milk and honey. And
mm-hmm.
for me, that's all it is a con. Personally, for me,
it is.
If someone, you know, look, you do with your sexuality what you want to do. I'm going to do with mine what I want to do. And if you're doing something that I don't particularly care for, then you're just basically guaranteeing that, you know, sexually we won't be involved. So.
Okay. Okay. This is my question for you, though. So are you saying then that him coming now before the draft hurts him?
No. It's the reason. I would suggest, first of all, I don't know how much you know about football, but he was drafted 249th. And in most
mm-hmm.
NFL seasons, the final draft pick is around the 250th, 254th person chosen. So
mm-hmm.
249th is way, way down on the totem pole. And I would
right.
suggest the reason that he was drafted, 249th pick, had a great deal to do with the fact that he went to Missouri. He was drafted by the St. Louis Rams,
mm-hmm.
and he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I would suggest
mm-hmm.
that he knew that when he went into this. I mean, obviously
mm-hmm.
he knew that he was gay. Obviously he's a college graduate, probably majoring in business. And he understood that, hey, you know, more than likely he would have had to have gone as an undrafted free agent and tried to ply his trade that way. But this
right.
way, I mean, the first thing that is going to come to a bunch of people in the LGBT community, if he doesn't make the team, is the reason that he didn't make the team was because he was gay.
Exactly.
And that's the theory. But the fact is, I don't think he would have made draft if he didn't announce that he was gay.
Okay. And see, that's exactly what I'm saying. This was a con, like you said, a con. This was a con from the start. And at this time, like I said, it's the right time for this situation to happen. So people knew that he was gay, okay? They approached him to go ahead and publicly come out as gay. Somebody sold him to somebody, okay? This was sold behind the scenes. And
mm-hmm.
they basically tried to help him ensure you will get picked up by an NFL team. You will get endorsements.
Yep.
You will get contracts. You will get money. Now, all you have to do is be willing to be the face, be out publicly that you are gay. And this man decided to go along with the plan. Now, that's the thing. If he would not have gotten drafted, then it would have been about, you didn't draft me because I'm gay. Then that would have set off a firestorm. That would have set off, you know, lawsuits and so on and so forth and protests and whatever else. So a lot of these NFL teams, and then we talk about the Rams. The Rams are the team, you know what I'm saying? They're one of the teams here. I'm in Missouri as well.
Okay.
So
okay.
they probably felt some type of obligation in a way, being to go ahead and pick him up. It was already in. The deal was already in South before any of this. Now, he did say, I was reading, he said that he could have went up in a higher round than what he got picked up in. He said that. But they said that he stopped short. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
What? That?
Excuse me?
What makes him, I mean, you know, I don't understand his rationale for saying that. Because his, you know, from what I understand, his 40 speed, his 40-yard speed was below standard. His strength and ability for the position that he plays, he wants to be a defensive lineman. they're above below standard. He did win the Defensive Player of the Year award in his conference
in the SEC.
Yeah, but defensive player, see,
well,
no one.
Well, if y'all can, let me weigh in on this. If y'all can, sorry to jump in. I'm a sports little head, so I know I got a little. I can add a little to this. Okay, yeah, he was SEC co-player of the year. Thing was, his defensive line mate was drafted in the third round, who was double teamed all season.
Tony Ealy.
Exactly.
Tony Ealy.
Right. Right. So Michael Sam played one-on-one on his side, which allowed him to make a lot of plays. Now, it's hard to say that he wouldn't have been drafted if he wouldn't have come out as gay. We don't know. But when you're a seventh rounder, you're basically a free agent. You know what I mean? When you're picked in the seventh round, it's not necessarily a big recommendation. So the other thing dealing with him is the St. Louis Rams have one of the best defensive lines in football, so he's more than likely not going to make that team.
Not going to make the team, exactly.
So we're gonna
throw this olive branch to the lesbian LGBT community, but he's not going to make the team.
Beyond the olive branch, it's about the bump in sales you're going to get. It's about the bump in notoriety your team is going to get.
Absolutely.
Right, for a seventh-round pick.
They're giving out olive branches so they can make money off of it.
Yeah, for a seventh-round pick, you can't get a better value in their mind because they can get all the publicity leading up to training camp. And then during training camp, when he shows that he's probably not one of the better D-line members there, he's either going to play special teams or get cut. And, you know, after that, it is what it is. This is like, I understand people who say, okay, the gay, LG, you know, the whole community has this agenda that they want to set across. Well, the NFL, as far as owners, these are older guys, and they don't really care about anybody's agenda. They care about their money. So after he gets cut,
they care about their agenda, which is
exactly
making money.
This is the thing, though, I want to say about that. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to say quickly that the sister, like I said, she pointed out all of these people that she believes, you know, basically prompted Michael Sams to come out before the draft. And I would suggest, as cynically as I possibly can, that Michael Sams, being a college graduate, I wasn't joking when I said he probably majored in marketing, business, what have you. He's like, hey. You know, regardless of what happened, I mean, he could get hits on any social media website from this and make money. So, you know, this is going to make him money one way or the other. And I would suggest that Michael Sam is not an innocent in this situation. I would suggest he's possibly a very cunning individual.
There's some opportunities to this, but there's another aspect to this, too. We got to remember this. The NFL actually employs ex-FBI people to do some of these background checks when they get into people.
Uh-huh.
If you remember a few years ago, Dez Bryant was actually asked by a GM if his mother was a prostitute because these people go way into your past, your life. They know all types of things about you. So him coming out was also him doing that before they brought it out to him. Because it would have come out during the whole evaluation period, and that it would have been a big story just the same. So this guy was kind of getting ahead of the story and trying to control the narrative of the story.
Yeah,
PR people with him. Oh, go ahead.
And that's what I wanted to say, too, that, no, I'm definitely not saying he's an innocent. No, by no means is he an innocent. But this is what I'm saying. It was the right time for everybody. You know, this was the right time for the LGBT community. This was the right time for him to try to make a spin off of this because, like you guys just said, he wasn't necessarily going to get picked up anyway. I mean, he wasn't necessarily had the skill or talent to really push him towards the top. So he used it as an opportunity to get over. It was his con. And they said even when he came out, before any of this, even when he came out, they said that his agent had to field so many calls from different huge Fortune 500 companies. They said these were Fortune 500 companies calling for endorsements to endorse Michael Sam. Not even LGBT companies They were too, but
no, but I promise you, they have LGBT customer, LGBT, you know, business interest. I mean, you know, whether you know it or not, the LGBT community in numerous areas have done very well financially.
But right now we're talking about a new emerging market that they're still trying to figure out, okay, what sells best to them, how do we really get this market locked in. So they're looking for new ways. So, of course, the Fortune 500 companies are going to come calling when they see an athlete and they figure they can make some money off. The most interesting thing about this, though, is the media slant of waiting on a player to say something derogatory about the guy when in all reality, the players don't care unless you, if you can play, they don't care. But the just give me 1 second. Just hold on. The players, for the most part, don't care. Of course, there are going to be some who do care, but for the most part, the media is more obsessed with this than the players are. They want to get him on the field and training camp and see what he can do. If you get out there and ball, players are like, hey, it's whatever. Just like at Missouri when he told his teammates they didn't care as long as he made plays that helped them win. That's all they care about. But the media, their obsession with this is, okay, how can I write a story on this? I can get a new article. I can get clicks on this. I can get paid. Mm-hmm. I can, you know, I can really make something out of this. So if a player says something, I'm going to make a big deal out of it.
Buy my newspaper, listen to my blog, tune into my download my blog on the latest website and the whole shot.
Click my article. It's the same game.
But, you know, I hate to defend bigots, but, you know, this is a country that supposedly values the right to free speech. And the NFL immediately censored, you know, a voice, a disagreeing voice. There was a player from
Miami,
that came out and, you know, oh my God.
Yeah, really? Don Jones.
Mm-hmm.
He said horrible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if I understand correctly, his comment on the web on social media was up for a matter of minutes before he got a call from the NBA telling him you better chill, you know, because you know we own something.
Right.
Wait, let me say something real quick, please. This is the thing, though. What you guys were saying about the team owners and things, that they're older men. They're older white men with money. And this is the thing, though. They are in a time, definitely, with football, where that gay stuff was not played. We don't play that gay stuff. This is a man's game, okay, a man's sport. Let me finish what I'm saying on this.
Now, let me interject this a little bit, because that's not true. They were what you said earlier. They were discreet about their homosexuality, but it wasn't that they.
But that was the image.
It may have been the image, but it wasn't the truth.
But wait a minute though. But it doesn't matter if the image is the truth or not, because 99% of the people who watch football will never know the inside story. People are looking at what we see. So if what we see is saying this is a man's sport, that is how people are going to perceive it. So that's what I mean when I say this is a man's sport. We don't play that gay stuff, meaning we're not trying to have nobody out there flamboyant or out there trying to say, hey, I'm gay. We want to portray the image of men. That's what they were more so about, not to say it didn't exist.
Here's the thing. They're about money. They're not about morality in any sense or form.
Right.
So the
moment
the country changes and it becomes profitable for that to be the stance, then they'll take that stance. It doesn't have anything to do with their personal lives.
Let me finish my comment. Yes, they go where the money is. That's money is paramount. We know that. But at the same time, a lot of these old guys were still in that somewhat of that mindset. Now, they're having to come around to it because this is what's being pushed out there is this whole gay agenda. So they're having
That's the point I think you're missing.
Can I finish my comment and then y'all can interrupt, say whatever? Okay, guys. But they're having to come around to getting on board with this. And like you said, when they see the money, how the money dictates this whole gay thing, then they will get on board with it and they will go along with it. Now, this is the thing. With Michael Sam, he wanted to go along with this to ensure him getting into the NFL. Somebody behind the scenes with the Rams or whatever, because like y'all said, he probably won't make the team. But somebody, like you said, went ahead and took the fall, took the bait, and had to go along with it. Now, this is the thing. It's not fair, like you said, not to defend bigots. I don't see people who are against homosexuality as bigots, because I'm not a bigot, but I'm not accepting of it. But they're silencing all those people. You can't say a damn thing against it. But this guy, we're supposed to celebrate him as being gay, even though this particular sport was based upon men, a very masculine vibe. And, you know, I know what y'all saying about the money, but it's still the fact that that sport is known as about men.
Well, that's the point I was trying to make. It's not that it's based on this macho man thing. It was based on that when that was the driver of money. When society changes, they change with it. So no, there was no principles behind it being about, okay, this is a manly sport. No, that was the best way that they could sell it, so that was the way that they pushed it back then. It was a manly sport. Football is football, all-American, whatever.
But now would you not say that elements still doesn't exist?
Of course the element exists.
For a lot of the fans?
Right, but listen to my point, though. That element exists, but as long as it can make money, they're going to split it up in the East Division. Okay, we're going to get some here on the macho side, and we're also going to get money here. There's a reason that NFL players wear the pink every year for the breast cancer and all that research. They don't really care about women. They just understand that that's a new demographic that's watching football, so they're going to try to take advantage of it. That's who these people are. None of these things are based on principle or anything like that. It'll always move with how the country moves and with what gives them a new revenue stream. So I think that's where people make the mistake in thinking that, oh, well, they were this way and now they're changing. No, this is how they have always been. As long as it was profitable for them to be racist, they were racist. The Washington Redskins wouldn't have black players. Then as things changed and it was profitable to change that, then they went along with it. It has nothing to do with morality or principle or anything like that. And to get to your comment about bigotry, I have no problem with gay people living their lifestyle. That's them. They can do whatever the hell they want to do. They ain't got nothing to do with me. But once you decide that you can choose how somebody else can live, I mean, you do have to say that is, somewhat a form of bigotry. Now, if you're a regular person in your personal life, you can say whatever you want to say about gay people. You can say
don't
like them, you don't like their lifestyle. But once you represent a company or work for any form of government or anything like that, and you're talking about talking against a demographic, then yes, you will have trouble. But a regular free citizen, you can say whatever you want.
Well, see, that's the thing. Now it's selective, because I was just reading while we were sitting here and we were talking, and in 2011, homosexuality or homosexuals became a protected class in the NFL. So before 2011, I guess you could say the F word or whatever, and or what have you, wasn't really, you know, scrutinized.
Right.
But now it's a protected class. And this goes back to the whole civil rights thing that I was speaking about. And, you know, the gay community, okay, these people are very savvy when it comes
to getting themselves
across.
Oh, they're walking in black folks' footsteps. Yeah, they're walking in the tracks
black folks
made. I
agree. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Because now you have a group of people who essentially have a sexual choice for their lifestyle. This is their sexual choice. They were not born gay. Let's kill that. Okay?
We don't know anything about that. We don't know anything about that.
Yes,
I do. The science is not in on that. That's your opinion.
The science is in on that, and no one has been born gay. They cannot find any proof or evidence that anyone has ever been born gay. It is a
yeah, the flip side of that coin exists, though, too. You can't prove that they're not, so we don't know.
What do you mean, prove? If we go on scientific verification for things, then no one is born gay. That's the truth of it.
If I could, let me offer this. The gentleman says the science isn't in on that. The lady says, yes, it is. From what I've understand, what they've been trying to convince me of is that the science is in, and it's the science is operates to the benefit of the of homosexuals, because the science says that, you know, your DNA determines your
no.
Yeah, but see, but this is the problem. Hold on. Just let me throw this in there.
Let me finish it off. Let me finish it off so you understand where I'm coming from, and then you can take off. What I'm saying is the LGBT community states proudly that you do not have a choice.
I understand what you're saying perfectly. What I'm trying to say is science now has become this biased thing to where we get the side of the people funding the science. So one side says this is a choice and we have the scientists to prove it that we finance. And then the other side says this is not a choice and we have the scientists to prove it that we finance. So we're not getting any true story on what's going on here. All we're getting is each side's biased so-called facts.
Okay, let me say this. Let me say this, please. Give me a moment, please. Let me say this. I'm working on a documentary about this very thing, about the rise of homosexuality in the black community. I have done super research on this thing. The things as far as people being born gay, those were all theories. None of those theories could be proven. There was nothing that could be substantiated that showed that people are born gay. And they have done tons of different things to try to find it. In 2003, the human genome was finished being mapped. In the human genome, they could find no area and no link to homosexuality. Now, as far as genetics, they even try to say, is there a gay gene? Now, if there was a gay gene, and of course there was found not to be one, wouldn't it have been bred, even just to think logically, it would have been bred out. Most of the people who have children are heterosexual. If that is the case, then they are passing on their gene for heterosexuality. Genes just don't up and change and shift like that. There has to be something there connecting it. They were unable to find any of this. And it seems like the gay people are increasing. So how could gay people be increasing if there's no genetic tie to it? I mean, if you allow,
I'll answer. The first thing that's wrong with that premise there is assuming that we don't know something means that there's something wrong with the data, when in reality sometimes we're just not good enough scientifically and understanding the world to figure things out. So, no, just because we don't know yet doesn't mean that there's something wrong with the idea or the premise of it. So, no, we can't say genes are a huge factor. We used to think that genes were a factor in whether somebody was rich or poor. So, I mean, there's been so much junk science over the years.
Right, and that was just proven.
Right, but all I'm trying to say is we used to actually think that that mattered. We thought that that was a real thing, and no, genes don't actually work like that. So this is a long process that we're far from even getting into the real meat of it. We really have no idea. But as far as the increasing number of gay people out here, I have no idea, and the best thing I have is the great Dick Gregory, and people laugh at this whenever I say it, but the great Dick Gregory talks about the hormones in the food and the fact that GMOs and everything else that we're eating is probably contributing to, you know, the huge amount that we're seeing now. There's always been gay people, but the fact that we have so many now, that is a little odd.
Yes, it's more than odd. And that's the thing is, I totally agree with the food and the different things. They even show that those bottles, now you'll see a lot of them say BPA-free and different things like that. There's estrogen that are in some of these products and things out here. And also on the cleaning products, I think it's specifically Mr. Clean or something. Let me give the wrong one. But that they have found these type of elements in. And if pregnant women come into contact with these things or whatever, those kind of things have been shown that possibly there's a link. There's a doctor, and I can't think of his name right now at the moment, but I'm supposed to be interviewing him for this, so I have to look at my email. But he's an African doctor. He's been studying this.
Dr. Sebi?
A legit doctor. No. A legit doctor, but he's been studying this since 2001. And he's had people come to him with their children gay and trying to figure out what's going on. But what he said was, and his studies that he came to find out was, in some cases, he said he believed it was 40% some type of other element, biological element, whether it be in the food, whatever, whatever, and then it's 60% choice. So my thing about this whole thing is there are a lot of elements that are now influencing particularly black young people into becoming homosexual. There are a lot of elements around so that choice becomes easier to make to go in a gay direction. So it's not, to me, anything genetic, like,
right, I got to say, a good study would be, since Europe doesn't allow GMOs and we do, a good study would be to see how much it has increased in Europe, considering
right.
that we actually have that food here and it's been implemented for a while. We're in the wild, wild west stage of this stuff, man. They don't know what it's actually going to do to people. They've just been pumping it into the food, you know what I mean, into the food
right.
supply, and at this point, we're just, you know, waiting on what happens afterwards. So we really don't know, but we cannot say definitively that genes have a say in this. We don't know.
But let me ask you guys this. So if you're saying someone is born gay, okay, what does that
really
mean?
Who's saying that?
I'm not saying either. I'm saying we don't know.
I think that's the only honest position.
The only honest position is we don't know.
Okay, well, but you were alluding to earlier that people could be born gay, right? So then
Possible. If
you had to defend that side, because for you, in order for you to say that, then you have to have some type of link in your mind that you're thinking that's possible. So how could you explain that then? A baby being born, this baby is gay. These people know when this child is born, it's gay. So,
I'll explain it this way. When we look at the gay populations of the past who had no reason to come out just because of everything that they would have had to face by coming out, take James Baldwin, a great black writer of the 60s. There was nothing good about James Baldwin coming out and admitting that he was gay. So why would he make that particular choice and make his life that much harder? So I can't say that this is a thing of, okay, these people are making a choice and that's the way they want it. Now, right now, for them to come out, of course, it's going to be easy. They got all kinds of support out here. It's nowhere near what it used to be. But I got to say, back in the day, what was good about James Baldwin admitting that part of his life?
Well, see, this is the thing, what I was just saying. They're now, and I will, to a certain extent, I agree that it's easier for people to come out now. And this is the problem, because it's easier for people to come out now, and in the black community, we have so many failing systems that set now children up to be easy prey to go into their lifestyle. We have to understand that we have an 80% single-parent home with women, okay? So when you take fathers out of the home, you take fathers out of the community, we know that it's tons of black men are in prison, okay? When you take black men away from the situation, and we're about 40 years deep into a lack of black men and black fathers in the home, you see a shift in the children, and that's what's happening. You see more and more young men, and I'm not saying single mothers have gotten mad at me, people have gotten mad at me, because they're trying to say, oh, well, you're saying single mothers make boys gay and all. No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is it does shift the children. It changes the children. It changes the family dynamic. It changes the dynamic of the community. And that has been 40 years deep. So what you're seeing now are all the results of all of these other things going on. So when you have young children, children always emulate their same-sex parent. This is scientifically proven. Children emulate the same-sex parent. If that parent is not present, who is the child to emulate? If you have little boys, who should that child emulate if daddy is not there? And you have mama, grandma, auntie, sister. Who will they look to see behavior, ways of speech, ways of dealing with issues? They will see it from their mother and other women around them. So these types of things are becoming influenced. Then when you have these young boys going into this type of mindset and picking up more effeminacy, people will then, even when they're not, and again, I've done a lot of research on this, even when they are not gay, meaning they're not even attracted to boys. Go ahead. Even when they're not attracted to boys, people will tell them, you're an F word. You act like a girl. You're like boys, you know, saying things like that to children. And like I said in my studies, I found that some of the men said, because people told them that and influenced them, children are very impressionable. So when you say something to a young child and people continually said it, one of the guys was saying, or actually a few of the guys were saying, I began to pick that up and think, well, I guess that's what I am. And I began to seek out and identify with people who are more effeminate like he was. And it becomes a pattern. So it's a lot of things in the community. So there is choice involved. There is a lack of fathers. There are also could be biological elements like we talked about. It's a lot of things going on. But now we have to look at things like football and those type of things. I feel also help encourage the young black men to see that it's okay to be gay and it's not discouraging them. It's encouraging them.
Okay.
Look, all of those things that you're talking about, that's just dealing with systemic problems of America. Those things have been here for the last, 150 years, haven't changed at all. This is just something that we have to deal with. But as far as, like, what you're talking about as far as the absence of black males, for the most part, I mean, that argument would lead to more gay women who, you know,
and there are,
would go
we have
towards
the highest number of lesbians.
Right, who would move towards the idea of the demonized black man. That's always been here in America. That's something we've always dealt with. Black men are demonized. That's the game here.
Yes.
But
I
don't think we can lay that at the feet of what we're facing here, man. I don't know.
Well,
I can
why
see
not?
That playing a factor, but I don't think we can lay that at the feet.
Because that doesn't determine everything.
On that note, let me offer then. Eliminate that factor and you don't have to worry about it.
Well, I mean, that's easier said than done.
No,
like
everything, regardless of how far you go, everything goes at, or everything winds down to a decision. And as I try to teach my children, sometimes in life you have to be perfect in the decisions that you make because a mistake, you know, sometimes you can't make a mistake. And I would suggest that homosexuality, the decision to engage in homosexuality, thereby removing the possibility that you may not be homosexual, is a decision to know that,
well, for me, I'm perfect. I've never made that decision. But there are a lot of people who are faced with that decision, and they choose to go, for whatever reason, they choose to go in another direction.
Where's Rob at tonight?
I mean, you know, I understand you saying we can't just lay that as
a
thing, but why not? When people look at so many things that children end up getting into, what do they always say? What did the parents do? The parents. But how come it is when we talk about homosexuality, no one wants to include the parents?
You don't want to take a flawed concept of people who don't know what they're talking about. When people demonize these bad young children that they see in these streets and say, oh, the parents must be no good, that's because that person doesn't have a full understanding of American history and social practice. So they just go to the easiest finger to point at. Well, you can say, oh, God,
when a lot of people do things, people say, the parent didn't discipline them, the parent didn't do this, didn't do that, didn't do the other thing.
Rhinos say a lot of things, but we don't listen to them because they don't know what they're talking about.
Sister Renee,
let me ask a question.
Your statement was that people reject the idea of laying that situation at the feet of, and this is in this instance, parents. You made the statement, why not lay it at the feet of parents? And the answer for that is because it won't resolve the problem.
Exactly.
Saying that
well, you know,
how come it won't?
Won't resolve the problem.
How come they won't?
Because that's not the only factor involved in this situation.
No, it's not. But wait. No, it's not the only factor. I just sat here and named different things. But when you say the parents, that is something that people should know who are engaging in behaviors and situations to have children. You need to make sure that you're providing a stable environment for your child. Each child deserves to have their mother and father in their life and present. So when you say that, it does influence people. Now, of course, gay people come out of two-parent homes. I'm not saying that. There's no absolutes in life. There's no absolutes in anything. There's always going to be exceptions to the rule. There's always going to be other issues and things that come into play. What I'm saying is, and I'm not saying it's all about single parenthood, but I'm saying that is an influence. And when you look at being 40 years deep, you see that the black community has the largest percentage of LGBT people. People don't know that. Our race has the largest percentage of LGBT people than any other race, and it is by a significant amount.
You know one thing, too. All blacks are not the same. That's one of the reasons. Let me ask you something. Would you tell your children who to marry and who not to marry? Would you tell your son not to bring home a Miss Daisy or your daughter not to bring home a Billy Bob?
Miss Daisy, character in Miss Morgan Freeman.
But it still goes on there. I told my daughter and I told my grandson don't marry white. And I was taught that when I was coming up. But how can you tell your children not to be homosexual if you can't tell them who not to marry and who to marry and who not to marry? I mean, homosexual is basically you don't want them to be having same sex arrangements with someone. I mean, they basically both ideologies on the same level, aren't they?
But see, this is the thing. You don't necessarily have to tell them. My children will know in the actions of their mother and father how we raise them, how we influence them.
You just contradict everything you've been saying so far. You said that you wouldn't tell them. Well, let me tell you. First you said that you wouldn't tell them who to love.
That will be a reflection. They will know to choose the proper partner in the way I raised them.
So have you taught your sons and daughters to do background checks on those they marry?
I will.
Chef Rob,
on the issue of homosexuality, real quick, here's another point. They say gays are born gay. Well, what is transsexuals born? Are they born transsexual? I mean, apparently they got
to
be. Part of the time they one sex, and the rest of the time they're another sex. But the thing with gays is that homosexuality is a law in the United States. I'm against the United States trying to push it on other countries where we see them doing. But here's another point. You don't have to associate with them once they let you know who they are. You have a right to associate and disassociate with whomever. And another thing, if your teacher is openly gay, you got a right to take your child out of that classroom.
What people don't understand is, and this is what we do a lot of times in the black community, we don't like to deal with things. We like to sweep it under a rug. We are reactive and not proactive. The reality of this is we have a situation right now with homosexuality in our community. We have it being influenced. We have it being endorsed. We have people making this a lifestyle choice that looks positive for young black people to make. We have the largest percentage of LGBT, but nobody wants to talk about that. When you look at the GLAAD website, they're pushing black people in all of these pictures and trying to associate being black with being gay. There's a lot of things going on to emasculate black men to be less threatening, to be less intimidating. And when you do this, you also help to commit genocide against the race, because now you have less and less people building black families, and that's an issue. Because when you have black families, you have stronger communities, which have better schools, and you have children who are going to go further in life. When you
Black women's got another thing to deal with too.
You screw up everything.
I hear black women complaining about, you know, here in, I'm in St. Louis where the Rams just drafted Michael Sam, the opening gate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So black women who have been complaining about white women taking their men, well, hell, white men getting in on it too.
Exactly.
They're taking your men also.
Yes. Yes, they are. Black men, and this is the thing. This is the thing. People come down so hard on black women, you know, and there's different guys out there that say so much about black women. But to be a black woman is difficult. It's very difficult because everybody likes to blame you for everything. They want to blame you for men being gay. How the hell can you blame women for that? They want to blame you for them going to date other races of women. They want to blame you for the kids being this way and that way. Everybody wants to blame you. Now, as a black woman, you have a large percentage of your men, available men, marriage-age men, who are in prison right now. They're incarcerated for 10, 15, 20 years, okay? Then you have a large segment or a decent-sized segment of black men who just will not date a black woman. They want to date anything that's non-black. Then you have a large segment, larger than any other race, of your men who are gay. So as a black woman, where's the weakness?
Sister, can I get in on this? Now this goes back to the point I was trying to make earlier. These people who demonize black women, as I said, these are people who don't know what they're talking about. They don't understand what this system does and what it preaches. So, of course, they're going to go to the easy answer and point the finger at black women. Those are people who should not be listened to. They don't have a point in the matter because they don't understand what they're talking about. My issue is, as far as this thing with gay folk, I put that, what, 20? You could put that in the 20s on the list of things we should be concerned about. My issue is, well, just let me finish. My issue is we've bought into the American dream and American system and the idea of diversity, and nobody else is. So until things get a little worse and we have to actually go into black nationalism and understand that we only have each other to depend on and work with each other and build things, then we're going to be dealing with these issues because we're constantly being separated and divided into these little cliques of this group is gay. This group, like you said, only dates interracially, or this group decides that they're going to do this. As long as we continue to do this, then we don't have the power or the control to determine where we go as far as
one of the most pathetic things I've ever heard in my life in this day and age, this Brother Dawa, is black men to stand and say that homosexuality is not that big of a damn issue. Homosexuality is killing us. Our boys are screaming and crying out because black men have molested them. And then we act as if, oh, well, homosexuality is no big issue. We got bigger issues, things. We got other things we can deal with that's bigger than that. What the hell is bigger than protecting the innocence of these children? Please tell me. How do you disconnect pedophilia from homosexuality? Homosexuals molest boys on a regular basis. That's how a lot of these people that are gay now, some of these men that are gay now, that's what happened to them. They were molested by some male. And then we sit up here as adults and have these intellectual conversations about, well, you know, we got other issues to do. What the hell is more important than the innocence of these babies? I don't give a damn about economics if you're not procreating, and if you're not men that's standing on the fact that we need to procreate, what the hell are we here as men for? What the hell can we protect? It don't make a difference what you got financially if you're screwing each other in the asses. If women are laying up women, it doesn't make a difference how much economics you have. That doesn't mean a damn thing, because you're going to fight against nature. Nature will kill your silly ass if you don't recognize that you're not supposed to be playing in somebody's booty hole. Nature will destroy you. You will kill yourself. There is no such thing as a homosexual lifestyle. It is a death style. They're killing the children that they molest. They're killing the people that they're dealing with while they're saying that they love this person. And then on top of that, they have to rush their ass to the hospital for all kinds of homosexual prone diseases. And we as a society have to mentally take care of these damn faggots that decide that they want to be fags. And we sit up here and act like, oh, it's no problem. These homosexuals are a financial medical burden on society all over the globe, and they are mentally ill. Why the hell are we black men still talking about, oh, we got bigger issues? No, the hell you don't. If you didn't have all of us had a mother and a father. These people are doing away with that in their mentality, in their thought process, in the schools. The individual that Obama elected to be over all the schools in America is Arne Duncan. Arne Duncan is from Chicago. Arne Duncan is a flaming faggot who wanted to establish a homosexual high school in Chicago. Why the hell is he the one over all the schools? Tell me there's not an agenda here. Man, please, black man, where the hell is the real black man? Please, let us do the best that we can to find our testicles, open up the sack, and put them back in there.
Come on, man.
Real talk. We have got to stop
this.
That ain't the case.
Brother Dawa, calm down. Hold on.
You made this statement.
No.
Let me respond to what he said. He was talking to me.
No, let him respond. Let the guy respond. I don't know. I'm not sure of your name.
Right. Name is Naj. Anyway, what the brother said, that's his concern. That's his number one issue. Nothing wrong with that. That's your idea. The idea that you have to decide that, okay, this is, should be number one on my agenda, his agenda, his – no. If that's your, that's your issue, push for your issue. Nothing wrong with that. I feel no need to knock you for pushing your issue. Go ahead and do that. Now, I disagree with you from this standpoint. When I talk about black nationalism, if you don't have the power to determine where your community goes, then you have to deal with the remnants of what we're dealing with now. Like you're saying, okay, well, this should be the number one issue because it's a health issue, it's an issue of rebirth, it's an issue of keeping the community alive. I'm saying without power, you can't determine any of that. All of that will be determined by other people. That's why I put that issue above the one you're talking about.
I also mentioned molestation.
Molestation is a big thing, too. That's a terrible thing that's going on.
But if you don't have children, if you're not building a community, okay, this is my thing. You said it's like number 20. I would say it's definitely in the top five. And it's definitely not below anything. It's going to rank together with other things.
We don't have to agree on how big this is. The only thing that matters is you two are determined to put a fire behind people behind this. Go ahead, keep pushing, do that. You don't have to convince me that I should change my ideas.
I'm not trying to convince you.
Pushing.
I'm just telling you my standpoint.
I'm talking about the brother. I was speaking more towards what the brother said as far as him deciding that, okay, since you're not pushing what I'm pushing, your voice should not be heard. No, that's silly stuff, man.
But that's not what I said.
That's not what I said. And I also mentioned molestation. I mentioned molestation. Black men, are the ones who molested our nephews. That's a fact. We black men are the ones who are doing that. That's what I'm talking about. So every black man, I don't care where you are as far on the economic scale, every last black male in America has to come to the aid of these little boys that's being molested by other black men. That's just reality. We don't even care about race. We still talk economics.
Let me give this brother example of what I'm talking about. We got what's going on.
Let me ask a question.
Let me give an example real quick. This will be fast, I promise.
One person at a time, please. I don't know where Chef went, but I'm co-hosting with him today. So one person at a time, please.
Then I ask two questions.
Go ahead, my brother.
Did you just say that we black men are molesting our nephews?
Exactly, dude.
Black men in general. You know damn well I'm not talking about you personally. I'm not talking about you personally. Okay, brother, listen. I'm speaking as a whole. I'm not speaking as one person. I speak as a whole.
Wait, brother Dawa, let him respond.
Did you just say that homosexuals are molesting little boys.
Yes, I did. That is a fact.
That so that's
fact.
What
that's
a homosexual
a fact.
Is, someone that molests little boys?
So well,
you
I mean, homosexual. It would have helped if he would have said some or there was a percentage. But, I mean, you get the gist of what the brother was saying.
You
I mean, he's
I'm
not
saying
all.
I mean,
it would have helped if he would have said
something like that, man. No way.
Yeah.
That's not a blanket statement, sir. In school, we're taught. In school, we're taught that if there's more than one, you can say. You can say men, them, they. You can't say that. So I was not wrong. Black men have molested many of these boys. Homosexuals molest boys. They just happen to be. Listen, white folks have classified them as pedophiles.
Have you ever heard of the?
This is what white folks have done. White, but it's just a male.
I'm black.
They're
I mean,
males who like to
deal with. But you know what he's talking
about. Wait a minute, wait. Everybody, one person at a time.
Let other people speak. And you don't put any. Draws on it, for lack of a better word. I mean, you
right.
said black
that's
men.
A good point.
I think what you meant is some black men. But I don't know
that. That's
sure.
what he meant. He don't mean every black man.
Exactly.
I can understand that.
Don't say every black man, please.
Right, but
I didn't say that.
Every black man.
Right, right.
Black
you know what the
black
brother
men.
Meant, though. You know what
that
the brother
me.
Meant. The point I was trying to make, though, was, okay, look at Nigeria right now where we have these girls missing. And the government of Nigeria actually has to ask the United States of America and Britain and some of these other raggedy colonial countries to come over there and resolve this situation. Now, of course, anybody would be against children being kidnapped. My point is, if you don't have your power in order, then you will always be going outside to try to get your problems resolved. So when we talk about you're saying that molestation is a huge problem going on right now, if you don't have the power, then what are you doing? You're calling the CDC. You're calling the Family Protection Program. You're calling all of these different groups to try to settle this program because you don't have your stuff in order. And by you, I mean we as black people. We don't have our stuff in order as far as power and can't make the moves necessary to get rid of these problems. That's why I'm saying nationalism is always first. After that, once you have your power, you can determine what happens
okay,
in your community
and
with
down.
People.
Let me say something. To further break down what you said, you talked about nationalism.
Hold on a minute. You know, we're going to go into overtime a little bit, okay? So, you know, hold on with your questions. Sister, you come back in. So, you know, take a quick breather. Right. Real quick. All right, there we go. Let's bring everybody back in.
Okay, what I was saying is, I wanted to finish my thought, but you said it's like 20. I think it's like in the top 5 for sure. Now, you talked about nationalism, and if you don't have power and all of that, that's wonderful. But if you look at this situation with, you know, us talking about homosexuality, you have to also recognize that for a lot of, and I'm going to specifically talk about black men, excuse me, when you have a lot of black men, or some of the black men, and a lot of them that I've looked into doing this research and things, when they come out openly as being gay, and they openly say, okay, I'm gay, and people begin to know they're gay, many of them begin to align themselves with the gay community, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Many times, black
yep.
gay people feel that they have transcended being black. So you have a lot of black people who
black.
Go over
yep.
and then will begin to represent the gay community, gay rights, gay marriage, gay discrimination,
mm-hmm.
whatever. And they will no longer really associate with the black community. They have told me themselves, several have told me themselves, and they don't speak for every gay black man, but I'm just giving you an idea, that many of them identify more so with being gay and the gay, quote-unquote, discrimination than they do with even being black. And many of them have also said, well, I don't really care. I ain't really going for black rights because
mm-hmm.
black people, they always got something to say about somebody being gay or whatever. And so many of these people, even though the black community really is accepting, if you really want to look at it, you know,
yeah.
if you really, really want to look at it, okay, we know we've been having gay people around the family, all right, but the situation is how it is now. These folks want to be in your face with gay. They want to make it seem as if being homosexual is equivalent to being heterosexual, and we know it's not. So you have
but you know
a lot
what,
of
Renee?
Gay, Wait. We lose a lot of black people who are gay to the gay rights movement and not the black rights. So you got to remember
Renee.
That too.
Sister, before the brother gets in, let me just say a couple of things here. First of all, I lived through an era when black women were identifying with being a woman more than they were identifying with being black. So I know what you're talking about. And like you said, it was detrimental to black people, although it may have been a positive for black women. It was detrimental to black people, okay?
Yeah.
So I understand what you're talking about when you talk about when you basically allow somebody to fracture your movement for your own benefit.
Yes, sir.
Now,
that gets back to the same thing, Renee, that all black folks ain't the same. You know, if you got children out here who would hotline you, what you think they're going to do when you get on them for being gay? Being gay, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, is permissible in this country. If those folks want to do that.
In certain states.
It'll
anytime,
be off 50.
Wait a minute. Anytime the federal government recognizes same-sex marriage, all the other states have to recognize it, too. And that's the point. I mean, let them go. Leave them alone. If they are openly, then you don't have – well, then, as the other gentleman say, that's not his priority. It's really not mine. If they're openly gay, I don't want to have nothing to do with it. I'm happy they are coming out and saying I am gay.
Well, like,
you don't
want
to have anything to do with it.
You
have to tell them something.
Well, we can't think that we're going to have this big tent to where everybody's going to get under it and say, okay, we're going
to
go for black rights, we're going
to
go for this. There's always – no. Just listen. Just hold up a second, brother. There's always been fracturing. There's always been traitors. There's always been people who side more with the system than they do the rest of the community. There's always going to be those people. And if they're going to identify and eliminate themselves from the group early on before they can trade on us later on, I say so be it. So let them go their separate way, and they don't have to wait and trade on us.
I hear you, but let's not forget this, okay? I hear what you're saying, but this situation is being encouraged heavily. So we are talking about, all of us on here are a certain age group, okay? We're over 25 and up, likely, okay?
Yeah.
Now, the younger generation, y'all have to look on Facebook. I'm going to have to link y'all to some things to look at. And people don't even notice. Older
people
don't
see it in the street.
Different mentality.
Wait. These young kids, these teenagers and young adults are gay as hell. So when you talk about building black nationalism, that also means looking to your young people. Right? That means motivating your young people because they are going to be the ones heading the movement next. But when you look at your young people, wait a minute, you look at your young people being influenced by media and entertainment, which is heavily, heavily gay, emasculating black men, making black women more dominant and masculine. Then you have to consider that as well.
Renee, how
are
you going
to
control that? You can't control it. Let me ask you another question. If your children, Renee, is being taught in a classroom, let me ask you this question. If your children is being taught in a classroom by an openly gay teacher, would you go to the principal and ask them to be put in another room?
Right, you can have them move to another class. I know.
Would you do that?
Yes, I would.
No one's
that's all you can do.
No, it's not all we can do.
And another thing,
you can't get the teacher... You can't get the teacher fired.
What?
She's talking about media influence as well. So if the major media is the thing that everybody looks to, then that means also we need to create our own media. Like right now, a podcast or a blog doesn't have the same megaphone that CNN, MSNBC, and Fox has. So we can't compare the two and say, okay, why are they winning right now? Because they have the focus of the country. They determine what the country thinks for the most part. So that's why I'm talking about issues of power. Once we have our own black media, then we can also influence minds. This is for the most part, this is nothing but a game, man. This is a game that they play, and they use their power.
Blacks can't have their own media until they have their own business to sell advertising dollars.
Here we go. Back on the scene.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you talking about black people having their own media, like BET?
No,
Like,
right,
hope,
they sold
like
out.
Own.
No, I'm speaking more Black Agenda Report with Glenn Ford, black people who actually know about black people and want to influence black people in a positive way. BET was Bob Johnson's way of making money. We cannot sit up here and act like Bob Johnson was this great black nationalist or something.
I've had this
like,
conversation on this show on numerous occasions, okay?
Yes,
I'm going to try one more time. Anytime you have a business, you have to follow the business standards that are in play. And the business standard at this point in time, since the inception of slavery, the business standards that have been in play are using black people, are taking advantage of black people. So regardless of who opens the business, including black people, you're going to have to take advantage of the same people that you're trying to help. You're trying to operate from the belly of the beast. It's this whole concept of being inside the situation and making changes. It hasn't happened yet.
I'm not advocating that at all. I'm talking about complete ownership outside of it. You create your own small separate systems, just like the Latinos are doing now.
Okay.
I don't care what major city you're in. If you turn on the radio, you're going to hear an all Spanish Latino station on the radio because they are determining what is heard, who is heard, and what focus is on. That's them practicing Latino nationalism as they should. All I'm saying is black people should do the same. I'm not talking about operating within the system. No, not at all.
I listen to the Latino channel sometimes just so I can hear people speak Spanish. Okay, I don't understand it, but I like to hear it. And I guarantee you those people are not talking about reclaiming the southwest of the United States, which is what the Mexicans want to do. They want California back, basically. So even their agenda, even the things that they want to do, in order for them to get a channel, a TV channel, they're not going to espouse those views, even if that's what's behind it. They're not going to espouse it. And if they're not espousing it, they're basically putting it on the back burner so they can make money. And when they start making money and they get to the point of Bob Johnson, and they can, I mean, Bob Johnson had Chris Thomas. He was somewhat funny, drug addicted.
Comedian,
but, you know,
yeah.
He had a lot to say about what was going on in the
community.
Yeah, but you're talking about
time,
totally different levels,
Thomas,
man. You're talking about – okay, I'll put it like this.
Rock, because
take the great entrepreneur Johnson who had the magazine, Essence and all those different magazines.
Yeah.
Most of their ads were from white companies, so those white companies determined what was going to be in that magazine in the sense that if it was too radical, it wasn't going to get printed because they would lose ad revenue. Once you have only black people financing you and you're only dealing with black people, now, of course, I understand things are going to have to get much worse for black people to understand this simple concept of dealing with self. I fully get that. You still won't have it
because you're going to have black business people that's doing business with white folks.
Outside, you're talking about
sure
the big
you know
business people.
We're not talking about a radio station. Listen,
Pianki, we're not talking about those people. We're talking about black people providing their basic needs. We're talking about regular small stores that finance radio stations that talk about the stores and the things that concern the community in that little local area. We're not talking about huge television stations and mass media. We're talking about small. That's the only way it works.
Two things. One problem is, and Bianchi, you was kind of saying that's all you can do and things like that. But this is one of the problems. Individuality is really, in this day and age, is killing the black community for sure.
Yes.
People have this individual mindset that I am my own person. I'm me by myself. And, you know, whatever I do is okay or it's what I'm doing. All right? I'm not part of any black community. And this is, wait a minute. This is what is killing us now. This is what is hurting us now. Because these people have bought into this post-racial bull, you know what? They've bought into that. And so they believe now as a black person, I can do anything I want to do. I can make it. I can be the president. I can be this. I can be that. and they're not realizing the real function of white supremacy, the real infrastructure of America. So until we can have a collective number, a real collective number, we cannot move forward. That's the thing.
And that's why I'm saying it has to get worse before it gets better for us to fully understand what's going on. I'm not saying it's knocking other races. They're acting as they should. They act as groups. They use group power to advance their own agenda, as they should. I'm saying while we're sitting up here talking about the gay agenda, as we like to call it, why the hell aren't we studying that and understanding that that's what we need to do? We need to get on one accord and start moving in the right direction.
We need to reclaim our children.
But there are
going to
be people who are not going to sign up for it and are not going to agree with it. We have to understand that, too.
We
got to
leave them behind. No. But we need to reclaim our children. But when you talk about the economic thing, let me say this. The second biggest problem we have is we have no one in a position of power, no one who's black who really has some money. I'm talking about wealth, okay? Let me finish. Who's willing to stick their neck out? Now, this is the thing. We as small groups can maybe make some changes or do some things. But America is about that green. It's about a capitalist country. And when you have someone in a position who runs things, who has wealth, who knows influential people and can do some things, that's when you can get more done. We have people like Dr. Dre, who's now, a billionaire or is going to be a billionaire or whatever with this whole Apple deal. Okay, you have people like that who contribute $35 million to USC. He's donating money to a school which is rich, which has a 5% black population, and that's what we have people like that who are wealthy, who race the hood to get rich, okay? And now they're in positions of helping other white young people.
So we've got to get people with money. No, that's from the top. Top-down leadership doesn't work because those people have too much to lose, so they're not going to risk anything. So we can't look to entertainers and athletes and people like that to try to – those are the easy answers. That's the easy way. If you're really talking about change within, if you're talking about change within any system, it comes from the bottom up. It doesn't come from the top down. They have too much to lose.
Right.
They're not going to be involved. This is nothing new.
But this is the thing.
We had black millionaires in the Reconstruction age. You think they were going to do anything to help their black brothers that could possibly make them lose that? What was her name? Madam C.J. Walker?
Let me say this. But this is the thing with that idea, though. This is the thing with that idea. Is we as black people, we never require anything of a black person who makes it. Any other race of people, and I've said this before, you look at Jewish people. Wait a minute. Let me finish my thought.
Let me tell you why I come, Renee. See, when you have a large group of people that support a Democratic Party that's about higher taxes, that's especially about inheritance tax, especially about the taxes, whereas when you go to leave your business to a sibling, they want to tax the hell out of it. You just can't – see, it's why do we always want to tell rich people where to spend their money?
It's not about telling no rich person where to spend their money.
Yes, it is.
It's about unifying as a black community, and it's about requiring something from our people, from our culture, to do something.
If you're
one of the ones who make it,
they're not going to do that, Renee.
Hold on.
And beyond that,
I'm not saying they're going to do it, but I'm saying as black people, we never put that forth and require black not necessarily celebrities, but black business people or people who make it big, like a Bob Johnson or nothing. We could get together. We could do protests or letters or whatever to black people or say we're not going to support them. We could do a lot of things to make some influence to say, you know what, if you made it like that, you give it $35 million to USC, and these black universities are closing, even though they're backed by white people, but still. You have these schools closing in black communities all over this country. You have these kids not having books. You have these kids not having shoes and everything else, and you're going to donate $35 million to a rich school?
Well, that's his money.
We should not be concerned with those people. We don't have the power and pressure to actually put pressure on them to where they can actually change. They don't need us in that function. They legitimize the system because the system can point at them and say, you too can make it just like Oprah or Dr. Dre did. That's their purpose in the system. So, no, they have no interest in helping black people in any way because that can be risky for them and their fortune. My point is, we don't even need to be concerned with them. Any type of real change comes from the bottom up. It does not come from the top down. The money that those people would donate would only be towards situations that were safe enough for them to donate to. They're not going to donate to anything that can change the reality of the power levels of this system. The power levels of this system have been a certain way for a long time, and those people know not to touch certain hot-button issues.
So we can't even be concerned
with them folks.
Well, my point is
we ought to be starting to demand more from our black people who become successful. They know exactly how hard it is to become successful as a black person.
Let me give you a prime example. Muhammad Ali had the fame and fortune and went against this system. The system reorganized and decided, okay, we'll give these brothers small endorsement contracts to make sure that they don't speak out politically on anything. 30 years later, you had Michael Jordan who wouldn't speak out on anything. He was the most famous athlete, the richest athlete at the time of his glory. Why did he not speak out? Because they had a set move for
Michael
him.
Michael Jordan said Republicans
wear.
They said
Jordan.
Republicans wear BVDs too.
We don't have to support these people. We don't have to support these black folks who do this. This is what I'm saying. That's why I will never buy no headphones from about Dr. Dre. I will never buy anything else he ever puts out. I won't do it. And that's what we need to be making our impact is supporting people who are going to help the black community. We support these fools out here who do this, and they don't give a damn thing back. They rape the hood. His whole way into success was about raping the hood, what's going on in the hood, this, that, and the other, making that commercialized for white people to digest it. And now he gets to this level, and he's going to go to USC and give big money. I'm talking about millions of dollars away. We need to not support people like that.
That's true.
Yeah, but look at Bill Cosby and all the millions he gave to Temple University, and black folk criticized him for jumping
in a black school.
Black folks criticized him justly because he was out there making comments that had no relation to reality. He's making these silly comments about poor people from his stance, and he ain't been there in so long. He didn't understand the situation, so it was silly. You can't give tough love
like
that has no love in it. Let me give y'all this. When a white politician goes to a white rural area, say the Midwest or any of these battleground states, does he go out there and say, "You guys need to get yourself an education and figure out a new way to make money? The plants are gone. You guys are old and you're not doing what you're supposed to do." No, they go there and say, "The government has failed you. The company failed you." They go there and apologize and give those people the most loving speech you could ever hear. But when a black politician comes to black America, what does he say? "Y'all need to pull up your pants. Y'all need to start going to school." He gives them the opposite, the whole different direction of the speech. It's all cased in tough love, but it has no solutions, no real problem solving, and it's all based on him getting reelected.
I think the point that you're trying to make, or at least the point that you should be making, that Bill Cosby is quite able to speak on the ills that black people commit. I've never heard him say anything wrong about white people.
Good point.
You look at somebody like Oprah.
All of the ills of the world, and I know Bianchi agrees with this, all of the ills of the world are the fault of black people. White people have nothing to do with it.
Right. They have nothing to do with it. It's all about
Y'all let me know when y'all see a politician give poor white folks that speech. Y'all let me know when you see one. I ain't seen it yet.
Wait a minute. Bill Clinton came to Inglewood on the south side, landed his helicopter on the football field at Inglewood High School. I think he was there for less than an hour before that helicopter pulled off. That's the closest boy ever get to black people.
Right.
I mean, he came. I have to give it to him. He had the balls to come, but I don't remember George Bush. I mean, George Bush wouldn't even go to New Orleans after Katrina damn near drowned the place. He wouldn't go there because there were too many black people sitting on roofs with guns trying to protect the little stuff that they had. He thought one of them might take a shot. He's probably right. So, I doubt it.
As long as we feel enough to buy into this Democrat-Republican shit, we're going to be in the situation we're in. Neither side has our interest in mind, and we need to make sure we make them feel the pain of it.
I must agree with that, because one thing we have to understand that people like Dr. Dre, who's so said a billionaire, whatever, going to be a billionaire, whatever they say, these individuals have ties with other people. So if we don't support him, believe me, he's funding some other type of organization that's funding the support of homosexuality, NAMBLAs. That's who's running the world right now, these homosexuals
and
pedophiles. These organizations, these people like this that are billionaires, these black folks, more than likely, if they're not speaking out against homosexuality and pedophilia, they're funding some homosexual or pedophile type of organization, because that's who's running them right now. That's who's giving them the opportunity to say what they want to say. That's who's running the airways now. That's who's running the judicial system now. It is the homosexual manifesto in full effect. So if we don't support them, these individuals are still tied to other ventures that have something to do with the promoting of homosexuality. That's why the whole system has to come down from the top. It has to be totally destroyed, period.
Well, homosexuality is a law here in this country. How are you going to talk
about
that?
About five, six times.
We know
how
you
many
said
times
that.
You say that.
We understand it's a law.
I'm
going to
say it a seventh time. It's the law. How you going to fight that?
Oh, my God.
What are you going to tear down from the top? How are you going
to
tear something down from the top when you get 96% of the voters, of your black voters in 2012 voted Democrat?
See, you are an atheist, so I can't explain nothing natural, nothing spiritual to you, no way. So I'm not going to bother with you. I'll let somebody else deal with you.
Hold it. Stop. Did I just hear you call Brother Pianchi ignorant?
I said atheist, sir, and he said it last night.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. You said atheist?
Yes. Atheist, according to his own admission.
But do you see where this goes, to where we throw these ideas about this person is this person is that, and now I can't build with him? No, Pianchi's seems like an honest, good brother. He's got good ideas. Take his good ideas. The ones you don't like, throw them away, but take the good ones. There's no need to throw these ideas about, okay, this person is this.
Let me work back because
the brother said anybody who's in that position is supporting gay stuff. Look, gay stuff don't run the world. Power runs the world.
Are there some gay people within that power group?
Yes.
You can say anything you want to about a black person. Wait a minute.
Come on.
You can say anything you want to about a black person, but you did not say nothing about a gay person. Now, that's power. There's power in that.
Exactly.
Whether people want to recognize it or not. And this is, again, what I said. Black people are reactive and not proactive. Until it gets to a point where it's just you can no longer even close your eyes to it, then black people will say, what's going on? Everybody's this and that. Then everybody will be going off. But when you bring real things to the attention of people, and you talk about black nationalism and these type of things that has been in the works. We've talked about this for a long time, and we need to have that happen. But we also need to be cognizant of what's going on around us and what's happening with our children. That's what I'm saying. A lot of people are out of touch with the young generation of today. And the young generation of today are being taught that there is no gender line. They're being taught that there is no sexuality lines. Everything is based upon how you feel. There's no morality. There's no anything. This is what they are being shown.
So we need to really reach these young people. We need to have organization within the young people. We need to be showing them how to build black families. We need to be showing them positivity of the black families now that do exist. You have people, children coming from homes with one single mother, a lot of them don't even know their daddy. They got brothers and sisters who all got different daddies. There's no unity. People have sisters and brothers all across town, don't know it. There's going to be tons of black kids having babies with their brothers and sisters and don't even know it. We have all kind of things that's getting ready to come up in this next generation, and people don't see it now, but it's going to happen.
Let me ask you another question, Renee.
Right now.
What do you do with the black kids? Like we had a case at the University of Missouri where you had black kids who was carrying like a 3.8 GPA in their class, but they were sleeping in their cars at the airport. So when you got black kids that's doing the right thing, when do you take your meager resources and help them to receive what they need to receive rather than throwing them in the other end?
We need to do that, and we need to do that. And that's kind of why I spoke about, and we do need to do that, Brother Pence. We need to do that. And that's why I kind of spoke about Dr. Drake, because you have someone like that who could be in a position to help. Now, this is my thing. I'm not saying give anybody anything. I'm saying but people who are in a position, young people who are in a position to do great things, but they don't have the finances at home. They don't have all the scholarships to cover all their needs, okay? They're coming from homes that are in poverty. Where is the assistance for these young people so that they can go to these top universities and they have somewhere to sleep? They can afford dorm fees, afford to eat at the cafeteria. These are the things that people in a position like that who have real money just in one swoop, one big amount, that could really help people. It's not about giving people, black people, anything. See, that's the thing. We have to be able to build things for black people. Look at white people and Jewish people. Okay, they put their young people, that's one of the most important things that they do in their community because they know the young people are the future. They make sure they go to top schools, that they are well-educated. They know what's going on, that they have money in the bank ready for them. They have everything they need to succeed in school. That's what we need to be doing now for
Renee,
yes.
Can I just ask you one thing, though?
Yes.
During the early days of America when we had the Jewish mafia, Italian mafia, and all these people out here committing crimes because that was the only way that they could get money, that wasn't going on. When did that happen? Mm-hmm. When they started consolidating their power, owning businesses, and understanding they had an identity. They called it Zionism. And they figured out a way to build for their community. And once they had power, then they could determine those different things that you're talking about. But getting back to what the difference between
and that's
the
true.
Brother – getting back to what the brother said as far as our difference and what I'm trying to get him to understand, when you say the gay agenda is this and it has this power, I'm trying to say that, no, coal, oil, gas, water, those industries that create these huge fortunes are what power is made up of. It is not made up of your sexual orientation. Are there gay people within that power group? Yes, I fully understand what you're saying, that they push their ideas through the media. Yes, they're going to do that. But to say that it's based off them being gay and not based off of them having power, that's where we fall. That's where we can't.
Well, you know,
let me address that. Can I address
blacks
that?
Got
talking
in
to
on,
me?
Blacks got hold in on, on the
hold on,
the real
talking to me. Can I address that? Can I address he was talking to me?
Go ahead and let Brother Dawa address it.
Let me address that, please. Now, you talk about Europeans being gay and it's not really being connected to their power structure, their money or whatever. Let me just put it like this. White men in the caves of Europe that was dirt, filth, poor, that didn't have a light to turn on, that didn't have know anything about how to speak, could not talk, Rh factor, Reese's blood, Neanderthal, crackers, was in caves, poor as dirt, and screwing their sons, and screwing their daughters, and screwing their mamas, and screwing all the animals. It is the nature of the white man, whether he's dirt poor or whether he's filthy rich. That's what it is. Europeans have a nature of homosexual tendencies. That's just what it is. It's in their writings, as they always say, art imitates life. They have depictions in stone all over their countries of little boys sucking men's penises. The thing with Cupid flying around as a naked baby, shooting somebody in the ass, even that deals with pedophilia. I mean, just about everything this European has, Greco-Roman society, is always based upon homosexuality. That is what it is, whether they are poor or whether they are filthy, dirt rich. I tell you what, and I'm going to shut up. If you think I'm joking, you think the power structure of these crackers are not filthy eggs and filthy rich fags, all you got to do is Google, billionaire execs. I think it's white billionaire execs dressed in drag. Google it if you think I'm joking. You will see a picture of some of the most wealthiest European men in this world.
In one room,
you're talking about money, huh? In one room, dressed in drag. These men run this financial system that you're talking about. They run it, and they're at the top. They're dressing in drag, brother. They got on wigs. They got on makeup. They got on lipstick. They got on high heels. They have on dresses, skirts, bras. If you think I'm lying, just Google it. They run all the money that passes through all of our hands in all these states.
I think this is good right now, because what he's saying – I don't agree with as far as him saying white people are genetically whatever to be that. But here's my thing. He's concerned about black children. I'm concerned about black children and them being safe. So I can support you in whatever you're trying to do to protect black children and make sure that they're not molested. Everything else I don't agree with, I can't support you on. But where we can work together is the only shit that matters. So that's my thing. It's just a difference of opinion. That's your opinion. My white folks, I disagree.
I'm going to flip that.
Black's biggest problem is the economics.
Yeah.
Why did I know that was going to come out of your mouth sooner or later? I got a question to ask you, Brother Fiancé.
Economics, Dowell, let me ask you a question. How many 20-story buildings have you put up?
At the University of Missouri, the one with the 3.8 average. Did you reach out to him and help him?
Dowell, let me ask you a question.
Answer my question before you ask me a question.
The money system.
Did you reach out and help the brother that was sleeping in the car with the 3.8?
Brother, I've done all that before, but let me ask you something. How many 20-story, 20-30-story?
Help the brother that was sleeping in the car.
It wasn't
3.8 grade point.
And this is the problem
somebody
with our
did,
conversation.
Though.
Sometimes we turn it into a pissing
no.
contest.
Now go ahead and say what you want to say.
How
Let's
many 20- and 30-story buildings have you ever erected?
How
many 20- and 30-story office buildings have you ever read?
Let's not turn this into a pissing contest, because nobody,
come on, y'all. Come on.
Nobody on this phone call is Malcolm and Martin. Nobody on this phone call is Malcolm and Martin. Let's not turn this into a pissing contest.
But I want to flip what Nair said, okay? And that's the thing, you were talking about the power structure, and again, I agree with all that. But my thing is, in talking about all of this and even how the homosexuality at the top trickles down into the society they want to make it into, that is my thing about all of it. We need to work on our neighborhoods. We need to work on building the black family. Because when you build the black family and you have that black power structure within the community, that's what I'm saying, then you begin to call for action for many other things. We are right now working on a weak foundation, okay, because everybody's so split apart. There's no real unity and connection. When you have a family together and you have a black father in that position and a black mother there to make decisions, to get together, to build something for their community, that's where the real power begins. Because then you can say, well, in our neighborhood, we want to do this. In our neighborhoods, we want that. And then you can go from there. That's when you have political power. That's when you can organize the political power. A lot of black people do not realize, as it stands right now, I mean, we never have, but we really have zero political power. They know, politicians know, okay, and every politicians know, they don't have to play and pander to the black community for what? We don't have no real voting power.
Building families is not going to give you no political power.
Wait a minute. They can go out here and pander to these gay folks because they know the gay people can get behind them, support them, and help them get in office like they did Obama in his second time. He had the pay them back money okay? Not money. He had to pay them back, which is why he signed all them bills for them gay people, because they got them in the second time.
They got legislation. We got emotion. We got black people crying.
Exactly. And you know another thing, too.
And
most blacks that you saw gay today came in on the shirt tails of the gays who wanted changes as far as it applied to federal benefits going to their same-sex spouse. All that other stuff that we see is just basically the big money behind the gay amendments was to change the federal laws, or should I say the federal response when it came down to the federal government recognizing same-sex marriages so that they could receive those benefits, entitlements for their same-sex spouse.
And
that's what it was about. The kids that you see, that's acting out same-sex behavior, they don't even, some of them don't even have jobs, and they ain't live long enough to gain benefits.
Yeah, they're useful idiots. They're going to support whatever they throw out on the table, and they can just use them as numbers. So they're going to continue to do that. But as far as the issue about the family, that family structure you're talking about doesn't happen until we determine our own destiny. So as long as we have to be hired by other groups, then we're going to have split families because they're not going to hire us in the same capacity that they hire other groups.
Can someone explain to me why I just heard Brother Pianchi say that building the black family isn't going to get you any political power, and everybody
that's
on this
what
phone
I couldn't get
forward.
That. Yeah.
Building the black family is not going to get you no political power.
How come it's not?
So which one is
because
more
it starts
to you,
it starts
Pianchi?
With the structure
building
first,
the black
and then the family.
How is building political power going? How is building a family going to give you political power?
Let me answer this.
It lends itself to community.
I got a great answer for this. I tell you what.
Show me your politician, and I will buy him from you. You vote,
exactly.
I will buy him. He would do what I want him to.
I tell you what. Take some of all of that money you got and find that.
There you go, trying to spend somebody else's money. Make your own money
and
spend it the way you want to. Don't be telling people how to spend their money.
Let me answer the question she raised. Hold up. Let me answer the question she raised. It's a great question.
How to spend your money. Don't you tell me how to live my life.
Okay. Let me answer the question, though. She raised a great question. Why would we say the family shouldn't be first? The family shouldn't be first because the family's not going to happen as long as we have individuality, which you talked about, and this addiction to finance and going to other groups for it. Once you have that
Just hold on.
Once you can hire your own, then that family is going to exist because the man has a job. And it's not the situation where we have these single-parent homes because people can't provide for a family. Once you can provide for that family and you're hiring your own, then you have that real family, that nuclear old-school family, and you can actually build that and put into political, economic, and social power. And then
you have to have that power. You
don't
got no economy, you don't have no politics, you
don't
have no police, no media, no education. That's simple.
We don't have
the
luxury
the
of
there.
Time to wait on that. We don't have the luxury of time.
Wait a minute. It's not about luxury. Hold on. It's not about luxury of time. It's about changing the mind state to where we say, man, only black
that's
people from
I mean.
This neighborhood
that's
should
what
neighborhood.
I mean.
Hold
we
up.
We can't
only
wait
black,
no longer.
Just hold
we
up,
We can't
Renee.
Wait no longer to work
Renee.
On a black family.
Renee, so Renee, what's your step-by-step solution for we start off tomorrow, which is Monday?
Well, here it is, point blank, period. Once you change the mind state, you say, wait a minute. Why shouldn't we have police policing this neighborhood who live in this neighborhood and look like us? Oh, why shouldn't we have bankers who look like us in this neighborhood? Once you decide that everything around you should be you, then you change that whole dynamic and the family comes afterwards and political power and everything else, et cetera, et cetera. But that mindset has to change first.
You can't change no mindset if
that.
You ain't got no money.
I don't agree with that, and I'm going to tell you why.
Go ahead.
We are not in a position to wait any longer to help the black family. Okay,
Renee, what's your subscription
while
for tomorrow?
Wait a minute.
What do y'all do?
while we put our power system first, we need to be working on that at the same time. We need to be implementing things in our neighborhood that encourage young people to do other things than run around having babies young.
Encouragement and speeches don't fill bellies.
It's not. You look at any other race.
Renee, it's really
and
not.
Look at their families. Look at their families. They have a family unit. They have a foundation. We don't
and
have
what is that.
That
based on?
They have an economic support system, Renee. How are you going to change the mind of the kids in your neighborhood when you don't control the schools, Renee?
How are you going to change the mind of these people if you don't have control of the schools that they spend the majority of their daily time in?
Right. If you go to West Virginia coal mining country, you'll see the same problems of poverty with white people that you see with black people. It's not based on them not having family structure and them being immoral. It's based on them not having any economic power. So everybody is just living for the day. So they have a lot of kids out of wedlock. They have a lot of single-parent families, and they also have a lot of people on welfare. Same issues we're dealing with. So
what
all
I'm
me and Bianchi are trying
to
say
work,
is
we need to work on these things at the same time. What I mean is we don't have the luxury to get all the power first and then move into that. We got to be willing to do three different things. We got to be willing to implement some things at the same damn time.
Who is this we?
The world
is
already
broken.
Renee, who is this we you keep talking about? Yeah, the world doesn't operate on how we want things to be. It is how it is, and we have to deal from square one. That's why I've been saying things probably have to get worse before they get better for black people to understand what we're dealing with.
And they will.
I need to know something. I need for either one of you to explain something to me. Who is this we? Are you talking about the people in the community that's affected? They're not going to do it. They don't have the capability or the capacity to do this.
I'm talking about the black community. That's what I'm talking about.
What part of the black community? The black community is broad and wide.
The black community as a whole. Wait a minute, let her talk. Go ahead, Renee.
The black community as a whole, and then those black people who choose to get with the program. But first of all, we need to put it out there.
I mean, what do you mean by get to the
– I just told you who.
The black community as a whole is affected by this system that you're talking about. They're uneducated.
Correct.
They don't have jobs. So they can't do nothing. And they not – as long as they're receiving these government entitlement programs, they are not going to buck that.
But that's the thing. It's going to be people who won't get in it. It's going to be people who don't want to be involved. You got to be willing to leave them in the back. But it's the people who want to get involved.
I don't know who you've been around, but the entitlement life ain't that good. So the people who are out here
it
on
really
entitlements
ain't.
And barely getting by, they are not living it up. So they will be able to change their mind once things get a little worse. That's all I was trying to say, Bianchi, because there's a lot of people in the hood right now who would be on board to do something to get better.
But where are they going to get the resources to do these things? Renee?
Well, the idea is, you know, to be a grown man,
you really act silly. You know that?
Yeah, PR.
They're going to redistribute. They're going to redistribute.
Where do they get the money to do these things, Renee?
Well, Bianchi, if you let me,
we have to come together and give our money. That's what we're going to have to do.
I figured that.
Black people who don't have big money.
Those resources will come later once the group decides that they're a group and start to work together. There have been peasant communities in South America who've had revolutions with people who couldn't read or write. So don't tell me it's about education and understanding everything. Mm-hmm. It's about them understanding that they have to work together because the other groups are working together against them. So once you're talking about poor black people understanding that, then, yes, they can build because they're sharing everything. They're building their community. It doesn't take much resources to do it, man, and lesser people have done it. So, no, it's not a possible task.
You're assuming someone uneducated or someone on government assistance
does not also see what's going on and does not also want better or an opportunity to have better or do better or to unify with the black
community.
And they
sure as hell ain't.
Wanting to do better and having the capability of doing so is two different things.
That's
Renee.
True. That's
yes.
true.
Bianchi yes. knows that the more people that are in poverty, the more people that are on government assistance, all of that makes his wealth, his largesse, even more powerful. That is the basis of any and all economic system. The money flows to the top, and that, therefore you get cheaper, everything cheaper from the people on the bottom. You get by cheap.
Exactly.
That is the
exactly.
basis of an economy.
And it is also the basis of the fall of every empire. Every empire that let the poor group get bigger
exactly.
and bigger and bigger, they couldn't govern anymore. The poor people decided they want to change, and a change happened.
Exactly.
Now, if that change is going to be an administrative, peaceful change, they decide that, or it's going to be a revolutionary, violent change. They decide that.
Let me tell y'all something.
How much
this
they turn
is one
the
of the plans. This is one of the ideas I came up with, and I know y'all gonna somebody going to shoot it down and have some to say. But this is one of the ideas that I came up with for something that a black community or several black communities across the country could do, okay? You get together people in your neighborhood in a large black area, okay? I live in a mostly black area. And you have either a community meeting or whatever you want to call it to get people together to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. So I'll give you an example. Ford Motor Company or something. This is just hypothetical. Ford Motor Company. Let's say they don't hire black people. Now, of course, we know to own our own businesses is what we need to be doing. But this is just an example, okay? Ford Motor Company, let's say they hire no black people, okay? Or they hire one black person. Or for their quote-unquote minorities, they hire women or Asian or something. I don't know. But they don't hire any black people, okay? Now, why can't black people in that community who come together mobilize? Why can't they draw up a petition or draw up some information, go to the city council, go to where they need to get to influence Ford Motor Company. Hey, y'all got to hire black people. But see, we never mobilize for any purpose. Or if you get some other business who's doing black people wrong, even if you talk about, let's say, a hair store in a black community, and you go in there and the Asian people follow you around. The Asian people do this. The Asian people do that. Okay, all of these black people in this community, do not go to this store. Do not support this store. Do not go up there. And then furthermore, draw a petition on there. Get up on the Better Business Bureau list or something. We could do a lot of things like that in our neighborhood that are smaller things, but they would make a change. They would make a difference for where people live.
Well, when you start to see that, that means things are changing. But as far as them going to Ford Motor or something like that, what happens is the representative who speaks with the group eventually gets some kind of little stipend, and before you know it, he's working with the management company and talking to you guys and trying to calm you down to think that things are okay.
Right.
So as long
and
as we're
have,
going
and,
to
and
other
And, Renee,
people,
that was a bad example of you trying to show us
yeah,
how
that
it's going to change people's economic
already.
Condition. So that they can walk
I'm
through the store without
about,
being
he
wasn't
violent.
Talking about
something that's on a smaller level.
Position,
no, it's about getting
He's
rid of those
about
stores.
A better world.
Yeah, it's about getting rid of those stores who are treating you like that in your community.
Exactly.
It's your community. Those stores shouldn't be there. It's not about
exactly.
getting them to treat
that's
you nicely and smile at you when you come in the store. It's about getting
we
rid of that store and putting a black owner there.
We
now,
need to get people outside
Donald
of our
Sterling.
Community who cannot treat us well, who cannot do for us.
You
when
don't
we coming in there spending our money. That's what
yeah,
I'm talking about. We need
yeah,
to
yeah.
make some changes. So
but
hey, if you
but what are you
here,
gonna
you...
but what are you gonna gain in that? You all I mean that's what the Koreans done. The Koreans go to school
they learn
how to
smile
at you as they Well let me
we
explain
gain
something
getting
to you.
People
you have
outside
that...
of our neighborhood that rape our neighborhood.
Renee, listen,
come in here
listen.
Rape
I hear what you're
like
saying,
y'all.
But let me tell you something. I still don't see
right,
how
the
they're
answer
going
is
how,
not
because they start smiling,
is,
smiling
you
to you when they hand you your change. How is that going
to
make things better? They still taking the money
because no, we need to get them people up out of here, and we need to get black businesses owners in black neighborhoods.
So
you're going to
so
you're going to
you're
going to
remove you're going to remove the Koreans who selling hair products. And hair care products that's made in their country, you're going to move
mm-hmm.
them out of your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying? So
yes,
how you
going to
buy the products?
Not everybody is as hung up on the economy as you are, Bianca.
How you going to buy the products, Renee?
What?
How you gonna buy the product?
Well, we can provide
we'll
the product.
Them how
the
issue,
hold on.
They not gonna sell you the product.
They're
not gonna wholesale the products to you, Renee, at a price that you can compete.
All the product.
Well, you can find products anyway.
We're not being, see, that's the problem. Allowing these people to control you. So then
exactly.
That's the thing. Well, I guess we're defeated then. Well, I guess we can't get the product, so let them stay and treat us like
right,
a dog.
Right. But the
I
thing
mean,
is, though,
Renee.
I know you understand this. I know you just were laying that out right now, and you don't have the paper in front of you. But the issue is not petitioning other people. The issue is not shopping with other people,
right,
so we get a black
that.
Person in there with ownership. So, yeah, right. So
right.
I understand where you were going with that, but when you start seeing moves like that, that means things are changing and black people are actually awakening. So you're talking about a whole
right.
different mindset.
And it has a bigger message. Exactly. That's what
yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be
as black Americans, and black Americans want to change things in the hair care products, they have to go into manufacturing, producing the way Nigerians and Senegalese are doing.
Yes.
That's not
going
to happen overnight.
One thing
so
I learned
in the meantime,
about people,
we don't
though,
have to be treated like dogs in the meantime.
Right. One thing I learned about people, though, is our ego pushes us to say whatever change I want to see has to happen during my lifetime and it has to be because of me. Sometimes you're only going to be able to lay the foundation for the next generation to figure it out. So are you trying to lay that foundation? That's the question. So we can't get so caught up in this has to change now because I'm saying it and because I'm alive. Nah, man, sometimes you're just the bricks.
Okay.
You ain't going to see
also
the finish.
Also along with that, we can't get so caught up in I'm doing okay, so what's the matter with everybody
right.
else?
Everybody else.
Ooh.
That's a bad mm-hmm. attitude too, Bianchi.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. That's awful attitude. That's an awful attitude.
And another thing.
Because while you know you're doing well, go ahead.
Hold up. We also have to throw this out there, though. If we're talking about middle class and wealthy blacks, we can't put the onus on them and say, okay, when are you going to help out? They got to wait till they see something substantial moving, and then they're going to jump in and try to help after that. Those people are not going to risk what they got for black people. We know this. That's who they are.
All right, but, Renee, that's what we're looking for. We want to see the substantial movement out of you and Dawood so that we can see what y'all going to do.
Substantial movement in what? Substantial movement in what?
Give them
other
a business,
than mouth.
Give them the businesses to invest in. Give them a change in the community to where they can say, okay, I'm going to invest in it, and then they'll come. Those people have always they've always been front runners. They'll come after the movement has started. Those black people.
Let's see your business plan.
Those black people who you've seen out there in those marches and stuff back in the 60s, those were not the well-to-do black people. Those were the people saying, we need to take our time, we need to wait, we need to da-da-da. The people who actually had something to lose, they weren't out there.
Not from the 60s. Because those weren't
let's
the
see
only
your,
people
let's see your business
back.
Plan, Renee and Dawood. What you got planned?
There were
let's
some people
see
in operation in the 60s that were like, no, I want mine
the
now.
Line, but what was
I
the
right
I'm sorry, I missed it.
And those were the people
I say, let's
out
see your
there
business
risking
plan.
Their life. That's my point,
for
though.
What?
They were the ones out there risking their
these
life.
These changes that you, these developments that you're talking about.
Shouldn't you want to go as far as to risk your life?
Those top-down people ain't going to risk their life because they're living comfortable. That's what I'm trying
right.
to say.
I tell you,
right.
Okay. As far as the top-down people are concerned, like people like Bianchi, when you finally have this revolution, I'm going to be the one sitting in the front row knitting when they bring his ass to the stand and he has to testify what it is that he's done all the time this stuff has been going wrong with black people. He doesn't like to identify himself as a black person.
Come on, Dawood.
So when all of this stuff comes to an end, I'm going to be doing
now. That's all you're going to do. Where's your plan? Show me the plan.
He dropped off.
Where's your plan? Other than making you
who is
more
this
money,
talking
where's
now? Renee, who is this talking now?
Is it
what's
AC?
His name?
That's him.
What's
you
his name?
Who it is.
AC,
you know who it is.
AC, where's your plan? Where's your plan, AC?
This is the issue. This is the issue. Y'all sitting here talking about the things y'all disagree on. Y'all know y'all disagree
no,
on
No, I'm not talking
aspects.
About what he's the one talking about. No, this is what I want. I want to see the plan.
You
where is
the
plan?
Plan?
You show the plan. Show the plan. Show the plan with projections. Show the plan with investment. Show the market. Show the projections. Show the plan.
You want to hear my plan or you
want to
hear your plan?
Be realistic. That ain't even a fair question. You gonna ask one black man to show me the plan to liberate black people? Come on, man. That ain't even a fair question.
Well, it's gonna have to happen. Well, how many? What is gonna be a whole?
Y'all agree?
What are you talking about then?
I'll handle my own business. I got a plan for you if you want to see true change.
Where is the
and
business
I
plan?
It's a definite business plan because it's truly going to take care of business.
If you want capital, show the plan.
No. I don't want capital. I want this situation to work to the benefit of the mass as opposed to the minimum. Okay, that's what I want, and I know exactly.
Well, is it an operation? Is it a development? What is it?
No. The way Lou Rawls put it, bring dynamite and a crane, blow it up, and start all over again.
Well, black folks ain't going to blow up shit in America. If that's what you're talking about, these motherfuckers ain't going to blow up a damn thing. Your kids terrorize you.
Your
kids terrorize you.
The world changes every day. The world changes every day. You don't know what's going to happen. And my whole thing is I don't understand people who think, like, this is the way things have always been. The group that's in control now, they're going to fall eventually, like all groups do, like every empire does, and somebody else is going to take over. Right now, it looks like China is going to be the next group who's going to have control and power. Now, if we think China is going to treat us better than white America did, then we're foolish. The real objective is get power so you can control your own destiny. That's all I'm trying to say.
Let me just offer this. 30 years ago, when the Japanese were the power, and they start coming over here buying up universities and buying up businesses and making all of these deals with the United States, and they were running things. They had more people in USC than Americans at the time. I said then, the United States is going to suck them dry, push them out, and then move on to the next one. The next one, for all intents and purposes, were the Arab with their oil. They came in, did the same thing. Where are they now? Now it's the Chinese. And the same thing is going to happen.
Oh, man, you're out of your mind. Hold on, dude. China, let's lay this out. Japan has no real – hold on. Japan has no real natural resources. They're basically living off of fishing, and they made themselves a world power. So to try to equate them with the United States, come on, man. They've done a real good deal with what they've got. Now you move
Japan
on.
Japan has the third largest economy in the world.
Exactly.
Japan has the third largest economy in the world, and it's not based on spending. Like
who
we talk about that $1.1
trillion
that blacks spend.
You can't call those countries what you just called them. China right now is going to be the number one economic country by 2016, and they're damn close right now. And they also have a huge population that they ain't even tapped into yet because they got those rural areas that ain't developed. But if you look at
they're going to be occupying, they're going to redevelop your rural, they're going to redevelop your cities here in America.
Just like most of the people in the United States are poor, just like most of the people in Europe are poor.
That's every stage of development for every country. You name one country that didn't have that economic stage of development. We had slavery and stolen land from Indians in our stages of development. So you want to compare that to China with their slave labor? Hell, they look like humanitarians compared to us. They're still on their way. They're not spending nowhere near as much.
Well, China's labor is not slavery. It doesn't cost nowhere near to live in China as it does in the United States.
Have failed for the same reason. Because the base of the economy
is that the
top people is the most.
I have a question for Bianchi before we go off. What is your plan then? What do you
looking for? Looking for. Looking
for
some investment.
Black people.
Well, I ain't gonna say all black people. You need to form black cartels, groups of blacks that have the wherewithal and the skills to tap in to the economic markets that black populations consist of.
And if you don't want
to black population itself is gonna always be exploited. It's gonna be exploited by one person or another.
Direct you as to how to do it.
Always.
Black
always
populations,
always,
just like
always,
any other ethnic group population,
always,
is going to be exploited.
Always. always is the wrong word when you're talking about any people. You never know what's going to happen and how things are going to go. Always is a terrible idea. If you could
have
told the white
you're always
going to
have somebody on the top and somebody on the bottom. Is that right?
Hold on, Bianchi. If you could have told the white middle class 30 years ago that they would be where they are.
On the bottom. Only if there's no moral compass for what it is.
White household income ranked third in the United States. They're not.
All I'm trying to say is understand history, and there's no such thing as always for any group. The middle class of white America in 2014, 30
years
ago.
That's not what I said.
Just listen. You could have never